Log Talk Radio.
All right,
Michael Trillstein, this is hilarious. Okay.
All right, Michael Trillstein is criminally insane.
Yeah, literally, bro.
He goes, the irony of people hating on me with badges I bought them.
Y'all worse than my ex-girlfriend. This is hilarious. All right, let's hit play.
Let's hit go live.
Let's do it.
All right, three,
I love these.
Two.
Just do it. Do it now.
And we are live. What's up, guys? Welcome to the Fresh and Fit Podcast. We're here with our boy,
Rolo Tomasi,
a.k.a. the Rational Mailman.
Live from Miami, guys. Let's get into it.
Welcome back.
Made it.
Yo, I gotta say, that was the fastest run to the bathroom I ever made in my life.
Oh, man.
Did you wash your hands?
Chris, don't wash me, nigga.
Probably not. And you had all this time to go use the bathroom. But anyway, that's a whole other thing. Yo, guys, welcome to Fresh Fit Podcast, man. We're here with our boy, Rolo Tomasi, a.k.a. The Rational Male.
Yep.
Rumble.com/FreshFit, guys. We're live on YouTube, Twitch, Twitter,
Rumble,
Facebook, and, of course, YouTube,
OnlyFans.
As always. He said OnlyFans. All right. Maybe OnlyFans soon. I'm just kidding. Also, guys, check us out on FreshFit.locals.com.
OnlyFans.
That's where all the behind-the-scenes content is, man. We're no longer on Patreon, so FreshFit.locals.com.
And
also,
we posted me and Stiggle shopping, looking for some stuff. It was pretty funny, actually, so check it out on Locals.
Oh, nice. Awesome. And then also, guys, check us out on Megaphone, okay? We're no longer on Spotify, Google, or Apple Podcasts. If you guys want to listen to us, you can all listen to us audio-wise on Megaphone. We got two different Megaphone channels, guys, so click the link there and check whichever one you want. And then also check us out on Discord, discord.gg/FreshFit. Get the merch at FresherPodcastStore.com. You guys have come to learn and love the merch. And then also check out our other YouTube channel. It's called Fresh and Fit Clips. As you guys know, we post 2 to 3 clips on there per day, 3 clips to be exact, and then 2 shorts per day, man. So check us out over there on Fresh Fit Clips. Let's get that channel up to 1 million subscribers, man, so that we can go ahead and flex on all the haters that talk shit about us approximately 1 year ago, and now our Clips channel has surpassed them. So fuck all those guys. And also check out Fresh's vlog channel.
Yes, for vlogs, guys, and behind the scenes, check it out. 200K on the way. Let's go.
And yo, check me out, Feta1811, guys. I broke down the Zodiac Killer case yesterday, 4-hour-plus
long
documentary. Broke down everything as far as, like, suspects, crimes, everything, man. It was probably one of the most thorough breakdowns on the Zodiac Killer on the fucking internet right now, man. And it's not monetized, so support your boy and go and like that video. I don't really care about making a dollar on that video. I just want to give you guys entertainment. Like the video, subscribe to the channel. That's the only thing I ask. And then also, special announcement for y'all. I just recorded a breakdown of your boy Victor Bout. As you guys don't know, or as you guys have quickly found out, actually, we traded Brittany Griner for Victor Bout, a.k.a. the Merchant of Death, a.k.a. the worst trade in U.S. fucking history. This guy...
Lord of War.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. The
Lord of War.
Even Trump wanted.
Yo.
Yeah.
I was like, what the hell? Because here's the thing. I had known about his case for years. And when I found out that we traded... Well, I knew that we were trying to trade him, and I was like, bro, the only way this would make sense if we traded him for Brittany Griner and the Marine, Paul Whelan, but we didn't. We only got Griner, and I was like, bro, this is the worst. This is like trading a holographic first edition Charizard for like a fucking Pikachu, bro. Ridiculous. And I reacted to his case, guys. What I did was I took a documentary from the show Declassified, and I broke it down, and we went over the case and how the DEA was able to set it up and get him arrested and everything else like that. And you guys are going to see exactly how bad of a dude this guy is, man. He was trying to sell weapons. Long story short, who's trying to sell weapons to two undercover DEA informants posing as FARC operatives. And the purpose of selling the weapons were it was going to be ground-to-air missiles and also sniper rifles to kill American soldiers that were helping Colombian soldiers fight against the FARC. And Victor Bell was supposed to supply these weapons to them, and that's when the DEA took them down in Thailand. So, and he did a bunch of other stuff, too. So if you guys want to go check that out, I'm going to drop that on Sunday for y'all. I just finished recording it. So it won't be a live stream. It's going to be a pre-recorded show. It'll drop on Sunday. Victor Bout, man, and
something very fishy about that. That was
crazy.
Such an imbalanced trade, too.
Yeah.
It makes me think that they owe the Russians something.
Yeah, and this has happened before where we've caught one of their spies, they catch one of ours, and then we just do the trade. You know, there's a whole other case back in like in the early 2010s where we caught like 10 Russian spies in the United States. It was the New York field office that did it, and we ended up trading them to get some of our spies back. So it always happens, guys, where we're catching spies, they're catching spies, and then, you know, okay, well, let's just trade our spies. But this one was actually the worst one that we've ever done by far. So,
but what
LUSA for this one,
okay,
man. L Biden.
I get the trade was bad, but what's he going to do now? The same stuff?
He's probably going to go back to doing it. Oh, not to mention he's a trained linguist. He speaks like five languages, was supporting the Taliban, giving them weapons as well, Angola, a bunch of different countries.
And we got a WNBA player?
Yeah.
Trust me, it wasn't a humanitarian trade.
A pothead lesbian WNBA player that would take a kneel during the fucking anthem and said that the anthem shouldn't even be played at WNBA games. That's who we fucking traded for.
Lord of War for WNBA player.
But anyway, besides all that,
Great idea.
Introduce yourself
America.
To the people, my friends.
Hello again. I am Rollo Tomasi. I'm the author of the Rational Mail series of books. I have a podcast that I do for 5 hours on Sunday, Sundays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern. Most of the people in the chat know who I am. And then I am also a co-host with Mike Sartain, who was here last night and will probably show up at some point around, you know, when the girls show up, he'll show up. I have a new show that I'm developing with him called Access Vegas, which is a bi-monthly. We're doing it twice a month, and we're doing it in Las Vegas, and we're sitting down having a roundtable discussion with the types of women who dwell in Las Vegas. So we felt like we needed to have a West Coast hub. You know, Miami, you guys own Miami. Okay. Let's just be honest here, but there's three states, right now where everybody's going to start a podcast. That's Texas and then Nashville, Tennessee. And then there is Miami, and, there was no West Coast hub. So myself and Miguel from Dollar Cost Crypto and Mike, we just got together and said, let's start a show. So that's what we're doing. We're developing it. And, we'll probably have a dedicated channel by January, I think. Right now, we're just live streaming to mirroring to both of our channels just to get off the ground. But that's what we're doing.
Perfect.
That's
good.
Mm-hmm. Cool, man. Welcome to the show. Okay, so should I hit some of these real quick?
Yeah. Call-in show for Rollo.
This is the call-in show or the
question
and answers.
Hey, guys, keep it short.
Your bitch called me Myron Lil Uzi. All right, cool. Thank
Nathan.
You. And that's from
Nathan.
You
want me to field that?
Okay, no. Yo, Myron, what was the best degree to become an 1811, not FBI? I'm enlisting in AF with a goal of OSI, but I want to move to HSI one day. I don't know which degree to pursue. Get an accounting degree. It'll help you. And also learn another language. It never hurts. Red Pill Batman, question for all three. Mom found a condom in my dad's nightstand. Is there a possibility she planted it there, or is he just that dumb to leave evidence of potential cheating?
Could be either or.
Probably he's that dumb.
Yeah.
About how much money are you worth, Myron and Fresh?
I'm not to pay the light bill.
Grease Junkies, do it yourself. Happy Friday. Happy Friday, guys. Stay fresh, stay hard.
Thanks, I see what you did there, bro.
Monarchist, we got your number. And then worst trade since the Hornets traded Kobe. Yeah, so that's fact.
Oh,
Grease Junkies, do it yourself.
That is true.
So, Rollo, quick question, man. You had recently been on a certain talk show that rhymes with kill.
I had no idea you were going to start that off. Start off with that. That's great.
Yeah, you guys know who I'm talking about. Bald guy with a strange accent that also used to work with Oprah Winfrey back in the day.
Yep.
Oprah Linfrey, if you know what I'm saying.
Yes. We're going to have to try to make like code names for all of this because I'm actually not allowed to discuss the details of it.
What was it like?
However, I can give you my impressions of it.
Yeah, what was it? How did it make you feel, though?
It was definitely
feelings.
An experience. People know that this is no secret. I shot with Dr. Phil and on a panel show. So it wasn't just me. I just want to make sure everybody knows that it was a panel show. And the topic ostensibly was about the state of masculinity and kind of like, what are we going to do with all the lost boys?
Mm-hmm.
That, and I'm very familiar with that topic. I think we probably discussed that on this show several times.
Yeah.
So I went down there. I did the show, and then I was hurried off the set to LAX, and then I took a flight to Las Vegas, and that was that. So it was very quick. They told me that they had shot enough material to do two shows, actually. And so for people who keep asking me, when's it going to air? I don't know. Probably whenever Andrew Tate is in trouble in hot water, that's when they'll air the show.
Yeah.
Because nothing on that side of the, like, the media, like, that's old school media. It's like old order media.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you asked that, because it's like I wanted, as far as impressions are concerned, I was telling Icy a couple nights ago, and Mo and everybody else, and you guys too, we are like the media. We're the cutting edge right now, because when I did that show and I came back, my main impression was that we're on the cusp of something that is like the new, like, commercial television.
Mm-hmm.
So like back in like 1945, like post-war television, like ABC, NBC, CBS, all the major, you know, news networks and the television networks at that time, what they would do is they would collect all of these collect all of these content creators, right? So they would have a show like Fathers and Knows Best and I Love Lucy and all this stuff. And they would have all these shows, and they would, you know, keep them under one network. Well, that's kind of what's happening right now with podcasts. So you got The Blaze, you've got like PragerU, you've got Valuetainment's trying to do something similar there. And then you've got Daily Wire, for example. They've got Ben Shapiro, they got Candace Owens, they got Jordan Peterson now. So they're collecting all of these sort of content creators that have like really hot podcasts right now. And they're trying to drag them all up under this umbrella of, you know, whatever, an aggregate, I guess, of all of these podcasts.
Mm.
And then so it's, I think in going forward in the future, you're going to see someone like, say, Jordan Peterson only on, you know, Daily Wire, because he's already signed a contract for that. So you're going to
see. Oh, he's going to be on Daily Wire now?
He's already on Daily Wire. He signed a contract with Daily Wire like months ago.
Oh, so I didn't know that.
So I think what's happening is you're starting to see these new networks forming right now. Like The Blaze, for example, is another one. That's Glenn Beck's network. And they've got who do they got? They got Allie Beth Stuckey. They did have Elijah Schaefer, but I know that they've got a bunch of people under The Blaze. Well, Glenn Beck too, of course. And I've done shows for The Blaze. I've been out to Texas and done Slightly Offensive and You Are Here when it was still a thing. And
You Are Here doesn't exist anymore,
right? It doesn't exist anymore because Jack Murphy killed it.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
but there's still plenty of other shows that are under the Blaze network kind of thing. And so I'm starting to see these conglomerates kind of coming together and, like, you know, sucking up all these different podcasts that they think are hot and will take a chance on. Then there's the podcasts such as you guys and me that are like almost too hot for them to handle. So they have to be really, you know, hands off, unless you guys are really super big to bring, you know, to take a chance on. But I will say this is that we are on the cutting edge of this new media. And when I was done at that talk show in Los Angeles, one thing that was impressed upon me, and I don't think that enough people really realize this, is if you're a producer, like Chris, Mo, if you're a producer, if you work behind the scenes right now, you're on the cutting edge, because this is going to be the new media. This is going to be the new television, and it practically already is right now. And so, like, when you go and you look at, say, like Tim Pool, for example, Tim Pool's playing to, like, when the Kanye West thing went down on Tim Pool, I think he had something like 85,000 live views watching him.
Yeah.
And when, he regularly pulls between 40 and 60,000 live views. You guys are pulling, what are you averaging now, like 22,000?
Yeah, well, on Rumble, yeah.
Rumble.
Because we're shadow banned on YouTube.
It's more obvious. On different platforms. But I can remember Tim Pool saying that, you know, when he's pulling like 35, 40,000 live views, he has a more market share in that time slot than CNN does.
Wow.
And so when I look at that and then I see what's going on, you got to see these dinosaurs who are still trying to do this very scripted, very one-sided, very isolated. It's locked off. And so when you're doing a podcast like this, or even my own, if I'm just a one-man show sitting there, I'm breaking down the fourth wall, because right now I'm talking to the people who are in this chat and I can watch and see what's going on.
Yeah.
And that breakdown of like people who are actually involved in the viewing of the show, commercial television can't do that.
Yeah.
They won't do that because it's too like controlled and too like paranoid.
Yeah.
So when I tell everybody who's like sort of wants to get into, I want to get into podcasting role. I would say always do live streams because it breaks down the fourth wall. And I started doing live streams because it was engagement with my books and with my ideas and with and my blog and everything else. And then I realized that it's what I call engagement media. You have to have that chat window there. You can't, like, even pre-recorded stuff, it can be interesting for sure if it's like really short form stuff. But if you're going to do a show, if you're going to have a talk show like this, if you want to do anything that's involved where you can like discuss concepts and ideas like we've been doing for what now, over two years. Well, yeah. I've known you longer. But I think that it contributes to helping like express ideas, I think, more comprehensively. Whereas if you go on like a 1 hour show, which gets cut down to 43 minutes on like, you know, Dr. Phil, and it's all contrived and it's all contained and it's all, you know, it's all prepackaged, that people don't want that anymore. They want to feel like they're involved in the progress of that show. So there's going to be people here. I wanted to do you guys usually do a Q&A on Friday anyway. Yeah. So a good example of that, of course, is the fact that the chat can influence the direction of this show.
Yeah.
So, which they will do here in just momentarily, right? Yeah. We're gonna discuss some topics, and then people will chime in and say, "Hey, what about this? What about this?" That engagement and breaking down that fourth wall is something that old order, old school 20th century TV cannot do anymore. And I'll tell you, it was a shock to their system to have me on that show because whenever I was answering questions from the audience or whatever else, I'm slipping into fresh and fit mode, right? Yeah. I'm like, I'll swear on that on the show, you know. Yeah. I'm seeing people in the audience and they're asking me these questions, and I already know what I'm going to say when they ask me those questions. And I had people telling me, you know, "Hey, Rolo, weren't you nervous going on commercial television?" I'm like, "Not at all."
Yeah.
Because I'm looking at an audience of like 200 people sitting there, and I'm like, "There's." I regularly get 300, 320 in my waiting room for a show on Sunday. So I'm not nervous at all. But then I don't think we really appreciate the fact that – I don't know how many people are in the chat right now. But when you guys are playing to 22, 28,000, that will fill an arena.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of fucking people.
Yeah.
And then how many people are actually going to view that, what you had to say? I mean, how many are going to watch the whole thing? I don't know. But the very fact that your audience is that broad – I don't think that that's in any way anything that like old order media is going to be able to compete with.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. No, I foresee definitely that, you know, television, cable television, et cetera. It's all dying, man. That's why the next 5 to 10 years, no one's going to have a cable subscription. I mean, I'm old enough to remember, you know, having Comcast or HBO or any of this other stuff. But if it's not live streamed, no one's going to give a fuck
about
it.
People want to feel like they can influence the discussion.
And right now we can't measure engagement. So you mentioned earlier 22,000 people watching. Mm-hmm. We can't measure how long they watch for a period of time and see what that means in terms of payment. But when it becomes monetizable, that's the future. That's us.
Yeah.
Tim Pool, us, you, it's the future. So, off rip.
Yeah. It's going to definitely – everything is going like directly from consumer to vendor, right?
Mm-hmm.
With Uber, person coming right to you. No middleman taxi company anymore.
Yeah.
Uber Eats, bringing the food right to you. You don't even got to go to the fucking restaurant no more. You know, with watching entertainment nowadays, you're just getting right to the content, you know, no ads, no typically unless you got YouTube Red, but like you're watching your favorite content creator. You don't got to worry about commercials, all this other bullshit. So, you know, Netflix is like, you know, streaming right there. So it's getting to a point now where it's, you know, the middleman is getting cut out in a lot of different business endeavors.
I know we all hate Ethan Klein from H3H3, but like, look at his like viewership on that stupid ass show. I mean, it's like, I mean, they're up around like 65,000-70,000 live views. Now, again, how do you measure the engagement? But the very fact that they have that many eyes on the screen, it blocks out. Nobody's got their eyes on commercial television anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why would you?
It kills all. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know why that entertains people, but
I don't know how people watch that shit, but whatever. I mean, if they want to watch, Ethan Klein and fucking Lasan Abi, it is what it is. All right, cool. Let's go ahead and hit the phone line, guys. 515-605-9740. Again, the number is 515-605-9740. You got us. You got the Rational Male in the house if you guys want to ask any questions. Let's go ahead and hit the phone lines with the first person.
Yeah, 6619, Marcus.
What's up?
Cool.
What's up, bro?
What's up, guys? What's up, guys? And what's up, FNF? I got something to say.
Let's hear it.
Do it.
These hoes and the bitches where they came from, coming straight from an underground. I'm just kidding. Fuck that. What's up, guys?
Yo.
Gonna be straight with the fire. No, but I've got to agree with all you guys. I'm trying to get into that space too, guys, like be like you guys and stuff, because I know that that's where it's at. Rolo's spot on. He hit the target. And my question to you guys is that I've been listening to audiobooks, just like Rollo's been saying to like listen to, and you guys been like saying. I've been listening to this one called 48 Laws of Power.
Uh-huh. Right. Robert Greene. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've been listening to that one, and there's this one story that stuck with me, and I'm trying to connect dots. Not trying to connect. I'm connecting dots while I'm in the gym and stuff, and it pertains to your guys' show too and stuff. Of like, they just been like these decades and these empires have been changing the word of imp. You remember imp? I'm not saying the first letter because I don't want you guys getting canceled on the other one. Mm-hmm. Imp has been changing words because it used to be, isn't it lust? And lust urges an imp, because this is one story in Robert Greene's book that said that there was this girl back in the day that had a roster of bitches, not bitches, but male bitches, and but if that was able to happen in the past, and they didn't have a word for it, because I don't think it imp existed in the past, but wasn't it just called changing different type of forms of words like lust and urges, and how do you fight lust?
How do you fight lust? You don't. I had a conversation with one of these guys from the Iron Disciples. It's like this Christian podcast. It's like sort of a semi-red pill Christian podcast. And we were talking about incels, and we were talking about the rise of the Lost Boys and everything, and black pill doomers and the MGTOW, you know, the more like sort of like the dregs of the manosphere kind of side of things. And they were saying, you know, is this like a new thing? Is this some sort of new trend? And of course, you know, my answer is no, they've always been around. Like loser guys have always been around.
Yeah.
So if you look at guys like, say, Steve Jobs maybe, but like certainly like Wozniak, like Steve Wozniak, yeah. Or if you look at like Bill Gates or a Jeff Bezos, these were the losers in high school when I graduated in 1980. Been losers. There's always been guys who are the revenge of the nerds. There's always been the outcasts. There's always been the sort of like down, you know, the emo goth guys who are just, you know, the depresso guys all the time, or the nerds who couldn't understand why the jocks always got all the girls. And so, you know, back then we didn't have the internet. You were forced to get into a situation where you would have to become better. You had to do better, yeah. Right? And you had to find a way out of the 80% so that you could get into, you know, the 20, at very least the 20%, so that women will find you attractive in some way, even if it's transactional. But it inspired, I think, a lot of innovation for guys to sort of think creatively and try to find a way out of their state. The problem now is we've given these guys this global platform online where everybody can commiserate. And I think that they've always existed. It's just that we're more aware of them now because we have social media, and we went from forums to blogs to having YouTube channels, to having, you know, social media where everybody can sort of like get together and go, yeah, fuck those bitches.
Yeah.
You know, that's, and you, as a result, you get, what is it, 30% of guys are sexless in the last year, or what, 2020, you know, the GSS study, it would keep floating over and over again. But that, I would say, is a result of this awareness that everybody else has right now. So it comes with pluses and minuses. Like I was saying, we're the media right now,
mm-hmm.
but that can be a net benefit, or it can be sort of like something that contributes to this commiseration effect.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Let's hit the next caller. And guys, do me a favor, when you got your questions, you know, make it brief, get right to the point, ask your questions so that we can make sure that we get as many people's questions answered as possible. Who's next caller?
All right, 6267.
Yes, I am right. Gen X, and so is Aaron Clary.
Sweet sack, 10 bucks.
Go ahead.
Fire away, bro.
Sweet sack.
Do it.
I'm saying his name. Going once.
Going twice.
Nigga, you paid 10 bucks.
All right, gone. All right, who's up next?
1 second. Let's go with 50 bucks. Darna Elliott, 8687.
Go ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you all doing tonight?
Good.
What's
up, man?
Good.
Answer the question.
Fire it.
Well, I don't have a question. I just, but I did have a response to a caller from like last week. It was caller number 4. Trying to take you guys the success porn or whatever.
That
you
guy,
guys
yeah.
remember?
Oh. Yeah, the guy was basically arguing with us about.
No, I remember, but
yeah.
I just wanted to chime in on that. Like I said, and I'm not. I don't want to, you know, condemn the guy, because it sounded like he still is going to watch your podcast for a little bit. I don't want to condemn the guy, come down on him or anything. But this is just my opinion, and I'm 36 years old, okay? And what I believe he encountered was red pill rage, all right? He definitely encountered red pill rage. There's no doubt in my mind. Everybody handles it differently, okay? But what I want to talk to the younger gentleman on, you know, in the chat and supporters that, look, guys, you're gonna encounter this, man. The truth hurts. Let's face it. The truth hurts, okay? You know, I've been to Iraq. I've been to Afghanistan. And I'm going to be honest with you. Female needs, I'd rather be in Iraq and Afghanistan than dealing with females all damn day. Seriously. I mean,
okay, so live ammunition is better than females.
All right. hey, Matt, just land the plane, though, because we got a lot of people on the line.
We hear you. We hear you. Let me see if I can follow up with this a little bit. Is that getting through the red pill rage phase is like, I have an old essay. It's actually in one of my books. It's called the Five Stages of Unplugging. And one of those is sort of like the anger phase. And it aligns with the phases of grief, like dealing with grief. Like, you know, there's denial and there's anger and then there's acceptance and all that other stuff. So what happens is guys get stuck in that anger phase because they don't have the creativity or they don't know what to do with themselves, because all of the stuff that they thought was going to be possible, that they were hoping for, that the blue pill said, here's this wonderful wet land of blue pill dreams and you know, the milk, land of milk and honey over here. And then they realize they can't get that anymore. And so they stay stuck in the rage phase and the anger phase, because they really, really wanted that, you know, pussy at the end of the rainbow kind of thing. And now they can't get that. And now they have to actually, they realize they actually have to work for it. They actually have to do something, actually have, like, here's the rules that everybody is actually playing by. Yeah. But they want everybody to go back and play by the old rules. And it's never going to happen. Like, whenever I'm dealing with, like, black pill doomers or whatever, anybody who's, like, kind of nihilistic and despondent, it's usually because they still think that those dreams are possible. But what I try to tell them is this, is to cross that abyss. You have to realize that there's more opportunity and there's a better life for you in a red pill paradigm than there is in a blue pill paradigm, because now you have accurate information. Now you can build the life that you want to with the tools that the red pill gives you. It's just you just lack the creativity and you lack the innovative spirit to actually say, you know what, fuck it, I can actually do this now because I know something that other people don't.
I was happy knowing the RP truth, because knowing the truth, I can actually
some people
adapt.
Have that effect, yeah.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You see the opportunity immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah, man. Yeah. Thank you for calling into the show, my friend.
Not a problem. Thank you for having me, Mr. Gaines.
All right, man. Thanks for your service as well,
Mr. Gaines.
All right. Let's hit the next caller.
Who are you, Mr. 3987, J Rob, $10.
Welcome to the show, my friend.
Bring it.
How's it going, boys?
What's up,
gentlemen?
It's an absolute pleasure to be talking to you guys. How's it going, Rollo? I just basically had a disagreement for you guys, kind of
sure.
A critique.
Sure.
I love it.
Okay, so Myron always says that men have a masculine burden of performance, which I totally agree with. You know, men deal with that their entire lives. But here's where I disagree with Myron. When Myron says that women don't have a burden of performance at all, I would kind of argue that, you know, women for the most part of their lives don't have a burden of performance, but I do think that, you know, when a woman has a child, that's a hell of a gendered equivalent analogy when it comes to the closest thing to a masculine burden of performance in a man's life. But saying that, you know, a woman's burden of performance also, you know, to take care of a child comes from a completely different place within than it does from, you know, a man. So, you know, a man has to think about his future, family, kids. While the woman only has, you know, that burden once she's actually had the child. The difference, you know, being is that the woman's burden can always be lessened by a man coming into her life, but a man's burden of performance is eternal and cannot be shared among partners. You know, it is his duty and his duty alone, with no societal reinforcement for women to perform, even when they do have a burden of performance. But, you know, all the pressure in the world that we can put on men, you know, but none put on women. So, like, why do people refuse to acknowledge this in today's society And another random question. Do you think that we will ever see a red pill dating show on mainstream TV?
Oh, God, no, please. They asked me that before. You want to handle the first part?
I will. You go first.
Well, I know what you're going to say. But
well, yeah, I mean, dude, you got to remember that when I say that women don't have a burner performance, what I mean is they're given their sexual market value just for existing. That's what I mean. Like, they can attract a man just for existing. So the man, right, doesn't get the ability and or the privilege to get a woman until he's built himself up. Women don't have to do that. So you're talking about, like, damn near the end of the game when she's already having a kid because she's already done what she's supposed to. She's already attracted the guy. Does that make sense? That's what I'm talking about.
Women's burden of performance is to stay thin and sexy and be sexually available. That's the burden of performance.
If you can call that burden at all.
And even if you want to, if you want to even call it a burden at all, bro, like, that's not really hard at all. That's why when I see fat women, I'm kind of like, what the fuck? You're a failure because you had one job. Like, how the fuck? But your only job was to not eat so much and not be fucking annoying, and you failed in that. So if I see someone that's a woman that's fat and annoying, bro, that's a double fucking L. Like, what the hell? So when I say women, there's no burner performance on women, what I mean by that is there's no burner performance on them to attract to the opposite gender because their sexual market value is given to them versus yours is earned.
Women have the option to perform. Put it that way. Men do not have the option. That's why what he's quoting is the burden of performance was a chapter from one of my books, right?
I've said it. Success for men is mandatory. Success for women is elective.
Yeah. Well, before the show, we spoke about this girl on YouTube, made a couple of videos as a bunch of subscribers. We have to work every single day to post content to get that same amount of subs. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, so, that would be the first thing anybody says is like, well, if you got tits and a nice ass, then you're going to go pop. You'll be big on TikTok, on Instagram.
Yeah, short form content.
Yeah, because there's always going to be that instant draw of sexuality. However, you still got to have big boobs and be thin and look, you know, be flirty and everything else. That's probably the extent of the, at least as far as the attraction side of things. I realize where he's going with this, which is like, well, if a woman has a child, then she's got this new set of performance standards that she has to live up to. And yeah, that's, I can understand why people want to say, well, it's, you know, it's a lot of work to be a mom. Okay, it is, but the that's like what's expected, right? For women who like hit me up and say, I'm an alpha female or something like that. You're an alpha female because you chose to be. It's like, you're not, there's no such thing as an alpha female anyways. They're just alpha males. They're women who have decided to follow an alpha male role. They're alpha males with boobs and vagina, bobs and vagine, right? Mm-hmm. And so that paradigm when people are saying, well, I'm an alpha, you know what's funny? It's like people give me this grief about like, oh, there's no such thing as an alpha male. Rolo, don't you know it's been debunked? Those are the same people that'll be like, oh, alpha females. Yeah, they'll fall in line with that because they want to believe in the empowerment of women. But again, those women have chosen to be what they are because they have the option to. They don't have to do that if all they want to do is say, you know, I don't want to read statistics. Fuck it, I'll be a stripper. You know, that kind of attitude. The option is there for them to be that way, but they don't necessarily have to be that way. Men always have to. That's why I called it the burden of performance for men. And people give me grief about it. They say it should be the challenge of performance, or it should be the benefit of performance. I'm like, yeah, the only reason I said burden is because women do not have that. Men have the option, or women have the option, men do not.
Burden, and you got to remember the word burden in itself, depending on the context it's used, can be implied that it's obligatory or mandatory. Women don't have to do that. That's what I'm trying to explain here. Like, mm-hmm. they don't have to have children, and they don't necessarily have to work to be attractive at all, right? Staying thin and not being a fat piece of shit, it should be, like, simple, right? Only in the United States is that even a thing. We went to Romania. We didn't see a fat woman for damn near 3 weeks, bro.
Yeah. I would argue, is there a choice? When you're born with tits and ass, like,
life is easy, bro.
It's easy. Well, yeah. Now, to maintain that, that's your choice.
Yeah.
So,
like, bro, there's no way around it. Like, I don't care what nobody fucking says. If you live in a first world country as a woman, your life is way easier than a man's.
Fact.
Because you get all the same rights and accesses and privileges that a man does while simultaneously being able to get treated like a lady, which inherently is a significant benefit because you're able to get away.
And you've got the government on your back.
That men can never do. So when we say burden of performance is only on men, we mean that from a sexual market value standpoint. And on top of that, men must perform. Women, it's elective. They don't have to.
I should also point out that this is a good illustration of the difference between respect for men and respect for women. So when we have respect, yep. for, I have respect for both of yep. you guys here at this table because you have done something. You have merited respect. You have earned that respect. And so when we talk about, you know, respect my name, talk about me, you know, whatever, you know, show some respect kind of thing, it's yeah. usually, are you respectable? What have you done that makes, like, respectability? What mm-hmm. makes you respectable as a guy? Yep. And it's usually those same kind of qualities that women will describe when they're saying a high-quality man. He's got to be ambitious. He's got to, yeah. you know, he's got to have some achievement. He's got to be educated. He's got to have a business going. He's got to, you know, be able to kick ass and take names, that kind of stuff. Those, the things that would earn you respect in a male sense are also the same things that women are looking for in a high value guy.
Yep.
And so that the idea of respect is, if you, even if you look at the definition of it in the dictionary, there's two definitions of it. One of them is the merited version of respect, and the other one is like common courtesy. That's the female version of respect.
Yeah, treat me like a lady.
I'm just
dumb shit.
Yeah, you don't respect women. Why? I should respect you because you have bobs and vagine, right? I should respect you yeah. because you are a woman. Well, I understand where that comes from because guys want to say, well, you should respect women because they're the vulnerable sex and we have this protector instinct, and I know where that comes from. But there is two qualifiably different definitions of respect that we hold for men and for women.
Yeah.
And so when we talk about the burden of performance, the respect we have for men is based on that burden of performance.
Yeah, which is earned.
And for women, it's like, well, respect all women, believe yeah. all women. You
all
know, I'm
it.
A woman,
yep.
put some respect on my name. You put, you know, you, and it's almost a point of like a pride when women say you don't respect women as sort of a shaming tactic. But it's this very cheap egalitarian version of respect, like common courtesy. We should yeah. all just open doors for each other. And for men, it's like, I don't respect you unless you can show me your receipts and tell you, unless you can show me what you've done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, women expect respect regardless of how they behave versus men kind of understand without even speaking to each other that respect is earned. That's the difference.
You know what's funny is women intrinsically understand that, but they will never admit to it.
No.
Yeah.
They
yep.
understand a guy who's respectful, like the guy that other men want to be and other women want to fuck.
Yeah.
That guy is usually respectable in some sense. Like, even
yeah.
if he's a drug dealer and a gang leader or something mm-hmm. like that, he still has respect because there's other guys that look up to him that want to be him.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas for women, it's like, I'm a woman. You need to respect my womanness.
You know what's funny? I find it very interesting. Most men respect most women. However, most women definitely don't respect most men
at
yeah.
all.
Yeah.
At all. You know what I mean? And then they still want, and these are the same women that say, I want equality. But then they'll be the first ones to say, you should treat a lady like this and that. But then she'll be the same dumb bitch to say, I'm equal to you. Ridiculous.
I think it will help guys if you guys can – whenever I talk about – I've done like full essays. I got four full essays on the differences in respect.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those gender differences, like women have a different concept of love than men have a concept of love.
Yeah.
You already know that. Respect is one of those as well.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
There's other ones, but those two, if you can like – if you can sort of wrap your heads around that and understand that when you're dealing with women, they are looking at you from a different perspective of respect than you are with other guys as
yeah.
well.
And then
yeah.
the last question was, yeah. are we going to have a live
a
talk
show
about the RFP?
He said on the mainstream.
Yeah,
no,
mainstream,
bro,
no.
Never.
No.
It'll never happen.
He's asking because Jedediah asked
yeah.
me that on Wednesday. Actually.
And if it was going to happen, it'd be so watered down, it would no longer be RFP.
You guys got to remember that
yeah.
mainstream television lives on advertisements, okay? Big media companies, right,
mm-hmm.
that want to – they live on advertisements. So, and most advertisers are not going to want to advertise on – content like this, like they're just not going to want to, bro. Like, because anything that's considered misogynistic or male self-improvement or anything that pushes up the patriarchy or any of this other bullshit, they're immediately going to look at it like, whoa, this is not good stuff. No, we can't. And we guys have got to remember, who's most the consumer base? Well, we know women are 80% of the consumer base,
yeah.
and they're the ones that make most 90% plus of the financial decisions in households. So what the fuck are they going to look like having dudes like us talking about, you know, women deserve less and shit like that? Bro, it'll never work. It'll never, ever
there
work.
There already is one. It's called The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, and it's in its 27th season as of next year. It's
yeah.
one of the most successful, longest-running shows on ABC. It is Red Pill because there's lots of lessons in there because they script every goddamn thing, and that's why women watch it, because it's outrage bait for them.
Yeah.
It's women who want the indignation.
But they would never want guys
and,
like us sitting here on a panel talking about hypergamy
right.
and all this other bullshit.
Yeah.
They would never want that.
Like yeah.
Even us on the talking to the girls on the debating on the show, they
yeah.
wouldn't want that.
Yo, could you imagine us on a reality TV show?
I said, well, last
that would be hilarious, bro.
They'll give Andrew Tate shit, they'll give you shit for saying, you know, a high value man should cheat or something like that,
yeah.
whatever it is, right?
Yep.
And then they'll go watch The Bachelor,
yeah,
like one chick with all these guys or one guy with all these chicks, and it's the longest running series on ABC. So let's hedge our bets here a little bit before we start giving other people grief.
They'll accept the red pill when it's surreptitious and within the confines of a stupid-ass dating reality show, but they will not accept it when it's ostentatious. We're putting it out there saying, this is why women do this and that and that. Whoa, what are you doing? You're demystifying the female mystique, as you would say, right?
Giving away the game, brother.
That's when they have the issue.
If it's a movie, a rap song,
or
TV, shout out to Michael Sartain in the fucking Okay, I know he just wrapped up over there in Valuetainment. Let's go hit the next chatter.
Yep.
Or the next caller.
9873.
Run
Lux
it.
Garrett.
Yo, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up,
man?
Go.
You hear me?
What's your question, man?
Yes, we hear you. Rock and roll.
All right, I got a script so I don't sound like Myron reading a Blue Chew, but I need advice on getting my 17-year-old younger brother to get out and start building himself into a man. He is somewhat red pill aware. He finds the leftist ideologies disturbing, but he currently just sits at home and plays video games. He is homeschooled by a sheltering middle-aged mom, and his father works all day and is too busy / too blue-pilled to get him to go out and do something.
Hmm.
Go beat his ass.
You're the older brother?
Yeah, I'm 23 and he's 17.
Okay. Why are you not, like, picking him up and bringing him out with you? Why are you not, like, kicking him in the ass? Or do you have something better to do?
I have a 40-hour-a-week job, but, I mean, yeah, I never thought – what do you mean by kicking his ass exactly?
Well, who else is going to do it? Who else is going to incentivize him? Because there's no incentive for him to do anything other than what he's doing right now.
Yeah.
If you're worried about his condition, you're worried about his state, then, like, guys in that situation, especially if you're his brother, you're his blood brother, right? I mean, I'm not saying it's your duty. You can decide whether it's your duty or it's not, but I would say, like, why are you not, like, just picking him up and taking him out places, or why are you not, like, being competitive with him or smacking him around or what? I don't know, whatever, but, like, it's not saying that that's, like, the cure to it, but, like, you get him out of that routine and get him out of that habit and that, you know, that situation that he's in, because who else is going to do it? Tell me who else will bring him out of that.
So do you mean by taking him out by, like, taking him to go do, like, clubbing or something like that? Or, like,
like gym? Bro, you just got it. Listen, man, just fucking go into the house, take his fucking PlayStation, throw that shit out the window.
Yeah.
Like, yo, that's I remember when I was growing up, and I played too much video games. That's what my dad did to me, bro. And you just fucking, hey, what the fuck are you doing? Stop being a fucking loser, blah, blah, blah. Like, yo. This is going to sound terrible, but you got to fucking bully your little brother, bro.
Because
it's better than you bully him than someone else really bully him for real. And he won't be able to fucking figure out what the hell's going on. It's better that he gets
a little pain now
a lot of pain later. Within the safety confinement of his older brother than someone for real giving him real pain and he can't defend himself or he doesn't know how to move around in the real world.
This is why
bullying is so fucking important, because you got to teach guys how to not be fucking pussies, you know? Like, and here's the thing. His mom, he's sitting there with his mom. She's bringing him cookies and shit. Probably he's playing video games. She's fucking making him soft.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's making him soft. It's your job as the older brother to go in there and tell him, yo, stop being a fucking pussy. What the hell are you doing? Throw this fucking PlayStation out the window.
Start a project. Find something that you, some shared activity that you both do that he say, hey, yeah, can you put that away for a little while? We're going to go fix the fucking carburetor on the car, whatever it is. Like, find something that you both share, like some sort of common activity that you like, because that will put you in it removes him from the sedated environment of playing video games and, I don't know, smoking weed or whatever the fuck he's doing right now. It pulls him out of that, and you're actually doing something. So, like, when men communicate, they communicate by doing. Women communicate by talk. Women talk, men do, right?
Yeah.
So there's there's that aspect of it. The other part is that I get is this. I agree with Justin Waller when he says this. Like, you know, nobody's coming to save you, bro. Like, he was saying that was the most liberating time of his life is when he finally, you know, he was able to wrap his head around that. But then on the same token, it's like, well, but we also have this group of men who are here to, like, sort of lift you up and pull you out of all of that. And it's like, well, do I have a tribe or am I on my own? And I think really it's very important, particularly when it's your brother who's your blood brother. If you feel like you have a duty, or if you wouldn't be calling into this show if you weren't concerned about him. So take that same initiative you took to call this show and use that to go and drag him out of that, start a project, even if it doesn't matter what the hell it is. It's just the intent of it is to pull him away out of that environment and put him into another environment where you can actually communicate with him and talk with him.
We just mentioned before, Berna, a performance, which means this is also your task as well. If you really care about your brother that much, then on you to make sure he gets the right training, the right type of, like, I guess, like, environment he should be growing. Because, look, we get it. He lives with his dad. Is not that well. But you, as the guy that knows the truth,
let's beat his ass first.
Take him out to the gym. Take him shooting. Take him to, like, man stuff. And by default, him seeing you doing, okay, cool. My brother's a big brother. I want to be like. Simple.
Yeah, also the other thing too, bro, you got to remember, like, my little brother, he looks up to me. You also have to be a good example too.
Yeah.
Like, if you're a fucking loser, your brother's going to be like, the fuck, I'm not going to follow you. Like, you're a fucking loser.
Do not explicate.
So, like, when I tell my little brother, yo, you need to do this or whatever, he doesn't question me because it's like, what the fuck? Like, he knows I'll slap the shit out of him. You know what I mean? And that's kind of how you got have to be. You have to be the example that your brother wants to strive to be. So, you know, you got to come from a position of authority as the older brother too. You can't tell him, yo, I need you to do this, or yo, stop playing video games, blah, blah, but you're a triple chin fat piece of shit yourself. So you got to make sure you're on point so you can go ahead and tell him, I need you to get on point. Because he's always going to look back at you and be like, well, what about you? You're a fucking loser too.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to be the example as well.
Even in religion, people change not because of what you say, but because of what you do. When they see you as an improved individual, fitness, health, life, they're like, you know what? That's how I want to live. I want to live as well.
Yeah.
So
demonstrate, do not explicate. It's what I tell, like, guys when they ask me about, like, oh, when should I give my 12-year-old son the rational male? I'm like, don't. I'm like, live it out so he can see it happen. Like, exemplify this. Do not explicate. You need to demonstrate.
And he's gonna have questions by seeing your lifestyle.
Exactly. And you wait for your moments. And you lead the witness, and you have those conversations intentionally. So I would say the same thing. And here's my other thing is, like, the fact that you took the time to call in here means that you already know what the situation is with your mom. You already know what the situation is with your dad. Are they going to do anything? Probably not. So who else is there? And I will tell you this, if you don't do something, you will feel the effects, the downstream effects of whatever happens to that, to your brother, as a result of your inaction with your brother.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to be the example, my friend, as well. You know, you got to be a winner yourself so that you can go ahead and tell him, hey, this is what it is. Cause he'll just look at you and be like, what the fuck? You're a fucking dork. I'm not listening to you.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, cool. Who's up next on the line?
Let's go with,
you guys, again, a number to call into the show is 505-605-9740.
2302.
All right, 2302. And then, yo, guys, just so you know, we got 4,600 y'all in here. We're probably going to kill the Facebook and Twitter and Twitch stream here very soon. So go ahead.
Hey, guys. I'm 18, and I'm starting my career as an electrician.
Okay.
I'm overweight. Do go to the gym. I don't have a girl, and I'm not actively looking for girls right now. So what should be my number one priority? My career, weight loss, or getting a girl?
Lose weight.
Lose weight.
Yeah, lose weight. And you're 18. You've got plenty of time for hoes. But, yeah, you're focused on being an electrician, getting through there, because that's going to be a fantastic career for you. You'll earn six figures after a couple years once you break apprenticeship, and then not being a fat piece of shit. It's completely unacceptable to be fat.
Yeah,
so, I think one of the things I think a lot of people think, like, just lift, bro. Like, that's like the common, like, answer.
Stuff it's
like
much more than
but
that.
It's way more than that. Like, when we, like, I default to the same thing, because usually when I'm talking to guys who are depressed or they, I don't have a network of friends, blah, blah, blah. 9 times out of 10, they're overweight and they need to get in the gym and they need to change something about themselves. So you'll start to, it's not just losing weight. It's also the endorphins and the dopamine and everything, all the good, you know, vibes that come when you're working out, and you can, like, relieve tension and stress and everything else on top of that. There's a lot more to it than just, like, looking better for chicks, which, of course, that's definitely the benefit.
Yeah. There's a lot of you learn a lot of life lessons going to the gym and training.
Yeah, I think for a guy, man, you do need a period of, like, monk mode where you're, like, working on yourself 100%. But at the same time, when that's done, you know, like you said, hit the gym 100%. But when you finish work, finish doing your studies, and you finish your fitness aspect of it, cool. When that's all said and done, go on a date. That's fine. But you did your work first. That's what's important.
Mm.
So.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
Cool. Thank you, guys.
You're fine,
no
man.
Worries, man. You'll be fine. Yeah. You'll be fine.
Let's go with 6267, Sweet Zach. Hopefully your mic is plugged in correctly.
Do not
Sweet
eat
Zach.
Testicles.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Got
it's plugged in. It's your boy, Sweet Zach, roasting these 304s on Rumble every after hours. And your humble narrator of the Rational Male on the Fresh and Fit Discord every Tuesday.
Oh, there it is. All right. So, okay, Zach. Now I know who you are. Fire away, brother.
Okay. So the first time I called in was when Rolo was there back in April. And I just want to take a moment to thank all three of you at the table for the work that you've done. because it's improved my life in countless ways. On that call, you recommended that I join the Discord community, and I just want to give them all a really big shout out. And for all the men listening in and who will hopefully listen to this, you know, when it's, you know, on YouTube and on Rumble, when it's no longer live, if you are looking for a circle of men who hold each other accountable and try to improve their life every day, get in the Discord. There's really no excuse. It's one of the best decisions that I've made in my life. And thank you, all three of you guys, so much. I try every day to be an example in the community of what can happen when you stop all the bullshit in your life and you really fucking focus and apply what Fresh and Fit tell you and the lessons in the Rational Male and just really take it to heart. I'm a walking, talking example of how to go from a fucking fat nobody loser into somebody who takes control of his fucking life and makes things happen. And I have the three of you to thank. I have a brief question for Myron, which is I called in a few times ago and asked about call-in shows for Money Mondays just because you have so many kick-ass guests, and it would be really nice to be able to have that. And then I just have a very brief question for Big Mo when you're finished.
Well, as far as Money Mondays with guests, you got to remember, guys, that like a lot of creators like are not really cool with doing things answering questions live or stuff like that. And sometimes like doing a call in, just put it this way. Not everybody's as flexible as us, bro.
Yeah.
You guys just keep it in mind. But maybe in the future we could do it where, you know, with certain creators that we might bring on for Money Mondays, we can ask them.
I would love to see you get Jason Hartman in for Money Mondays.
That would take ass. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Big Mo, go ahead. It's your question for Big Mo.
Big Mo, can you tell us why you never fail to eat the spinach and kale while you read the Rational Mail?
So I can tell these bitches to go to hell.
Thank you, guys. Thank you very much.
I didn't see that one coming. All right, cool.
Discord.
Hey, guys, just so that we could prioritize and make sure we get the highest quality questions, man, we're going to go 20 and up from this point forward, and then we're going to go ahead and kill the but if you donated before, we got you. Don't worry.
Yeah.
We'll try to get through as many of these calls as possible. But we got a quick word from our sponsor real fast. Help y'all save some money.
This episode is sponsored by Rocket Money. Hey, guys, it's Samarin Gaines here. Are you wasting money? You guys know how much I yell about wasting money. It's because Fresh and I have been there too. And you remember us telling stories on how we used to waste money on subscriptions. But we're not the only ones. 80% of people have subscriptions they forget about. Maybe for you, it's unused Amazon Prime account or a Hulu account that never gets streamed. There's this great app I use that helps me track all my expenses. And because of it, I no longer waste money on subscriptions I don't even use. You might have heard of it. It's called Rocket Money, formerly known as Truebill. The app shows all your subscriptions in one place and then cancels for you whatever you still don't want. Rocket Money can even find subscriptions you didn't know you were paying for. You may even find out you've been double charged for a subscription. To cancel a subscription, all you have to do is press cancel and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. Get rid of useless subscriptions with Rocket Money now. Go to rocketmoney.com/freshfit. Seriously, it could save you hundreds per year. That's rocketmoney.com/freshfit.
Cool. Let's hit the next caller.
Get your money on point, man.
Yeah.
Let's go with 1169. And guys, please don't donate again.
I might actually get that app.
Simple as that.
Really? Go ahead.
Hey, good evening. Hey, what do y'all think about male birth control? In the sense that, let's just look at some numbers here. We all know that men don't have reproductive rights in this country. I think that's, you know, established fact.
That's
but, you
one.
Know, our options are condoms, you know, so typical use is about 88% to 92% effective, right? You have, so that's basically saying like 1 in 12 times you're at risk.
Okay.
IUD is about 99% effective.
Mm-hmm.
Say it again.
Get to the vasectomies part.
Yeah, so I'm thinking about, you know, options for men, and it does involve that. Donating to a sperm bank, paying the approximate $500 a year to keep it, you know, per sample, $500 per year, and then subsequently having a vasectomy. Using that said sample when you are ready and willing, you know, and able to you know, bring a child into this world. What do y'all think about that premise?
Why do you want to have a vest? Is it because you're fucking so many bitches that this is a problem for you? Like usually when I get this question, like guys are saying, will that be like a societal disruptor of some sort, like for guys to get like a male birth control kind of thing? And if that's what you want to do, like what's stopping you from doing it? It's basically egg freezing for yourself. You know, but I
don't even understand his question. If I'm going to be honest. He's like, bro, what the hell are you asking?
Well, as far as birth control is like, he's like, do you not want to use condoms?
I'm saying that condoms are not actually that effective. You know, 90% effective. You're talking about having sex.
So your alternative is a vasectomy and freeze my jizz.
So freeze your jizz before the vasectomy, and then use that using an intrauterine insemination afterwards. You know, it can be a medical procedure, but it will give men the ability to choose.
In what way? What do you mean by that? Because condoms are very effective as far as like to not have children and to prevent STDs or STIs, whatever you want to call it. So
they are about 90% effective.
Nigga.
90% plus, but I'm not understanding your question.
I don't see the logic in this. That, see, usually what happens is when guys
what I'm saying is 90% means 10% of the time you're at risk. That's a big
percentage. Of having a child or
getting
an STD?
You jump out of an airplane, you said it was 10% that you die.
Are we talking about having a child or STD?
I'm talking about having a child.
Nigga, you know I'm smashing. Because that's not who you're talking, bro. You ain't smashing at all. What are you worried about, nigga?
What are you worried about? Hold on, wait.
It's actually 98% effective, if I'm not mistaken.
Are you worried that you're going to have to explain this shit to your future wife saying, well, I got a vasectomy because I was fucking all these bitches.
No. I got it frozen over here. I'm not worried about that.
Maybe we can have a baby.
Yeah, bro,
I'm not worried about that. I'm just bringing it up.
I don't understand. You're calling in about a 2% chance of something happening.
I think you're putting the cart before the horse, my friend.
What I'm saying is if we as men freeze our sperm and then decide to unfreeze it when we are ready to have a baby with our loved one, that gives men the choice of when they're going to have a baby.
Meanwhile, every guy who didn't do that is outbreeding you.
What's the question, bro?
That's the problem. And he's saying that maybe that's the solution to like sort of offsetting the power that women have with hormonal birth control being unilaterally controlled by women, right? So
is that what he's asking?
Yeah, well,
that's
He's all over the place. He's saying condoms aren't effective now. Now he's saying freezing sperm.
Because we don't have a male pill. Why we do, I don't know. But we don't have a male pill, and so therefore if you had one, it would be a societal disruptor, and now you're just trying to fast forward and say, well, how about this? Maybe this is a workaround. We freeze our jizz, and we give vasectomy, and then when we finally meet our loved one, we have to explain to them that it's frozen, and we have to have artificial insemination, which is probably like $25,000. And then the reason why that's ineffective, like I get this question all the time when we're talking about the male pill, because people will say, well, if we took the male pill, then finally the balance would be, you know, there'd be balance to the force, you know, Luke. And I'm like, except for the guys who aren't on the male pill, those guys are going to be the ones that are going to be outbreeding you anyways. So
But what do you mean by outbreeding? I'm trying to have maybe two children, three children with one person. I'm not trying to have a lot of different children.
So you personally, or should we all adopt this and therefore we can like bring balance to
the person? I think that in today's society, so you look at raising a child. So you brought up the idea that $25,000, which I think is a great point. But average child support payments in this country is about $500 a year, or $500 a month. You know, so 6,000, extrapolate that over 18 years, you're eclipsing that. And then, you know, there's some studies that say raising one child is greater than $250,000. And that's, you know, that was maybe 2 or 3 years ago. And that's only going to go higher. So I think for most people, you're probably looking at having one to two children, you know, with this and the other.
Here's the solution. You go do that and tell us how it works. Well,
I'm just bringing it up as an idea to see what y'all's thoughts were.
I don't think it's going to be the social disruptor that you think it is. And then, by the way, let me correct you on something. As a parent, let me tell you, your payments don't stop at 18.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. This second year, getting your jizz frozen from your girlfriend. Yo, you know what? I'm not going to beat you.
I got to go down to the clinic.
This frozen jizz will. What? Bro, like,
well, check it out. No, wait, hear me out, Fred.
It didn't make sense.
Let me counter that for a second.
99% effective. I don't know why you're concerned with, like, you're going to be good when you use a condom.
Well, even 98% is 1 out of 50, Myron. And, you know, how many women do you suggest that men have sex with before, you know, they get married? You say, like, 30 to 50, right?
Bro.
And so you're 1 out of 50 chances, you said 98%. That means 2%. You're at risk. So you're talking about having sex with over 30 some women.
I'm being nice in saying that. It's more like 99.9%. Assume the condom don't break and it's like a good quality condom. You're not using some bullshit. Like, bro, what, this is a very statistically insignificant question.
Yeah, bro, what's your body count?
And your question doesn't even make sense.
Go back to the holistic way of doing it.
What's your body count, bro? Because no offense.
I actually stopped counting. I don't know. It's pretty high. But I don't think it has anything to do with my data. I'm bringing numbers into this because condoms.
Why?
You know, what's typical? Why? Because I don't want. Okay, you asked me what brought this on. I was having sex with a woman. She has an IUD in. We're having regular sex, and she got pregnant.
You were wearing a condom. Were you wearing a condom?
She had an
IUD in, so that's 99% effective, correct?
Okay, so...
So you believed her over what you could control.
Boom, Mocha!
And then you get mad at them.
I think a lot of guys do in relationships, for one. I think a lot of guys will get in a relationship with a woman who has an IUD, which puts yourself in risk in 2 points. One,
right,
what happened with me was I was at one... Hold on. I was at one out of 100.
The chat's getting pissed off. They're like, what the hell's going on here? Bro, you asked enough, but your question is nonsense.
Dude, I get it. She has an IUD, 100%. Like, but bro,
he's fucked up by believing her.
Yeah, I don't believe her.
What the hell, nigga?
Yeah,
he's trying to conflate a female IUD, which he can't even confirm 100%, with a condom. Oh, it's supposed to be 99% effective.
If you're that worried, put a condom on.
Put a condom on,
each time.
You know what's funny? He'll go and do that, and in the meantime, they'll, like, develop the male pill and be like, ah, oh, shit, I should have waited.
And then you should ask her why she got one in the first place.
Yo, what the hell? All right, yo, kill Facebook, Twitch, and Twitter, guys. We're only on Rumble and YouTube now, guys, so come on over.
About to get serious.
Yeah, it's about to get a little bit more serious.
Yeah.
All right, who's the next caller?
Oh, yeah, brother.
I think she lied about the IUD.
Yeah, she probably did lie about the IUD.
Possibly.
Suit over here calling about condoms when the reality is nigga was smashing
there.
A chick raw that probably didn't even have an IUD in the first place, bro. God fucking did. Like,
right.
Yo.
8939,
Greg.
It's part of the game, bro.
$100,
by the way.
All right, what was that?
I just know. She can feel it.
Dom de Marco. $100.
Oh, yeah, $100. All right, cool. What's up, man? Welcome to the show.
What's up, bro?
Hit us with your question. Please make it, like, nice and concise. Not like the last one.
Greg? What's up, bro?
You paid $100.
Yo, is this, am I live?
Yes,
you
are
live. Ask the question, please.
All right, cool. I got a question for Rolo, actually. So, Rolo, I've heard you say many times that you say the only way to challenge your ideas is through debate. So my question is why do you run from every single possible debate with me?
Oh, this is Alex from Playing With Fire, because you never give me a fucking topic to go on. That's why. And I've already responded
but
to 90.
I've made shit. Videos where I outline topics.
I've done whole videos where I have debated you from my, you know, going over your ignorance. Pretty much everything you've stated in all of your rebuttal or whatever the hell videos they are, it's just confident ignorance. You don't know what you're talking about.
Why don't you debate me?
Everybody who has ever read my book understands that it is ignorance. It's from a position of ignorance. So if you have...
Okay, so you should be able to destroy me in a real-life debate.
That topic with you.
Dude, there's so many topics. I've already made multiple videos. You keep using this as a lame cop-out. You say, oh, bro, there's no
topic,
bro. I don't know about any topics, bro.
Mention
one. Like, we already have value
one. At least one fucking topic. One topic.
There, Dude, I've literally replied to your post countless times with lists of topics, and then you always do the same thing. You always say, well, he didn't give me a topic, and then you ghost for 2 weeks. Then you use the same line. You say, he's never given me a topic. I respond with more topics, and you're like, you just disappear. Yes. It's like the same thing.
And
shit.
You respond
to meme on my channel.
That's why. let's be honest.
Why are you so scared
working with Anthony Johnson? How long have you been on the bankroll with Anthony Johnson?
That's like something we can start debating right now. This is like a cringe conspiracy theory you have. I did one speech.
Your
for
videos
Anthony
are
Johnson.
Still
By
up
the way,
with Anthony Johnson.
Hey, bro,
it's not.
You did like two or three speeches for Anthony Johnson, so you should be working for him more than I am,
You have done countless videos with Anthony Johnson. The entire reason you did the first video on the 9 Iron Rules of Tomasi was in response to whatever the fuck Anthony Johnson put you up to. Let's be honest. You know how I know
that's
that?
That's like the cringiest.
He's bringing up all the same bullshit
I'll
use.
So you think the only way someone could disagree with you is because someone else puts them up to it? You don't think there's any way that someone could just legitimately think that big parts of your work are full of shit? Like, there has to be some conspiracy theory, right?
Give me the fucking topic. Name one right now that you think is full of shit. One.
Okay, let's start off with your
Name
whole theory.
One.
Anthony Johnson put me up to this. Let's start off with the Anthony
Johnson.
That's
not a debate topic, dude. That is not a debate topic.
How about this?
What
how about your claim that I'm killing
at?
People? Wait, hang
what
on. Rolo, let's start off with your claim that I'm killing people by criticizing your content.
I didn't say that dumb shit.
Here's the deal.
Okay, so would you like me to explain this to you in eighth grade terms? Because that's really what it's going
to
take.
No, I would like you to man up, grow some balls, and actually debate me.
Here you are. Come on, tough guy. Right
I would like you to
Give
look in between your legs,
topic,
find
asshole.
Something that resembles testicles,
okay,
and
that,
actually man the fuck up. Instead of debating random SJWs and Googlers, actually debate someone who knows what the fuck they're talking about.
I can at least respond to that one part here.
All right, no problem.
So here's the deal. When I'm talking about risking other men's lives, I brought it up on this show just last night, as a matter of fact. So what I was saying is this, is that when I read you guys that testimonial of that guy who was who had had a date with death.
Self-deletion, yeah.
Yeah, he was going to self-deletion. So when you go and you look at those comments, and when I'm given handwritten notes from mothers who tell me, your work saved my son's life. I had a date with death, and now my children have a father because I found your book. So when I see that and I go, okay, there's a lot more to just the red pill than just like getting your dick wet. There's a lot more to it than there's social aspects, there's psychological aspects that go along with it as well. So when I look at that, and then I look at guys who deliberately misinterpret what I say, because they want to get a 30-second TikTok video or the TLDR generation thing, when I see that, I go, how many guys are going to be put off to my work because this dumb son of a bitch wanted to get likes and he wanted to get views and he wanted to get, you know, he wanted to say, oh, I'm going to put – here's what Rolo's wrong about, right? And so intentionally distorting what I have to say may in some way – prevent guys from getting this information that could potentially save their lives.
Right.
I didn't say you were fucking had a gun to these guys' heads and were shooting them. But that's the way you want to characterize it because you think that it's more salacious. It goes right back to the 30-second TLDR bullshit again. So when I said that the potential is there for guys to not get life-saving information, that's what I'm talking about.
That makes sense.
I tried to make that as plain as day. But apparently I have to write it down to an eighth grade, you know, reading comprehension.
Pretty much.
So that's really what I was getting at. And I tried it, even just just last night, I tried to explain that.
Yeah.
All right. You want to
unmute him now?
Yep.
You want him unmuted?
So what do you have to say to that?
Yeah, I think you just completely strawman my whole position. You attributed a negative motive to what I do. Basically, the only reason that I could be criticizing your work is because I want to get some kind of clout or soundbite. It could not potentially be because I just legitimately think that you're wrong. So you just strawman my whole position, my whole argument, and you do this all the time. You constantly strawman people.
How?
because you attributed a negative motive.
You literally strawmanned my position by saying that I said that you were responsible for people's deaths, and yet you're going to come back at me and say that I'm strawmanning you.
On your stream,
well,
dude, I have the
Bravo. Logical fallacies are great, man, aren't they?
Yeah, I just don't know why. Like, if you're so confident you're right, why do you run away from this debate?
What debate? Give me a fucking topic.
Okay, I've already given you two. How about we get into your iron rules, Rolo?
We've already done that. I've got a full show where I refute every fucking thing you say.
Sorry, I had a phone, so the chat. I'm loving this.
Yeah.
Thank God. All right, let's just move on, bro.
Yeah, we have Shadowrun fam, so send him a DM or a love letter afterwards.
Love letter.
1663.
The cloud chase is real, bro.
Mm-hmm.
$20.
There's a famous saying, bro. Honestly, it's I only debate my equals to all others I teach.
Mm.
And I mean, honestly, Rolo, he's not worth your time, bro. I mean, if it was up to me, I would have just hung up on him right then and there. But I know he's been chasing
he's
you forever.
He's functionally autistic,
yeah.
Is what he is. Just like the fat kid in Brazil is functionally autistic.
Like,
seriously,
bro,
look at the facial tics are there. The vocal intonations are there. Everything that would say that it's Greta Thunberg. I mean, you're dealing with guys like.
I didn't even know who it was until Fresh.
You're dealing with guys.
Yeah.
I knew it wasn't
right
you.
Away.
I knew it
right
away.
Away.
If you are in any way associated with Anthony Johnson, I automatically presume you are a pathological liar, and you can't see it for what it is.
Yeah, whatever.
The very fact that he's infighting with the fat kid in Brazil right now should speak volumes.
Okay.
There you go. Yeah, bro, like that. That's,
all right. 1663. Two words to learn from that. Ass hat. I'm going to use that, bro.
Ass hat.
Ass hat.
I want to make a hat.
It's been like a year he's been trying to get this. Bro, what the hell's going on here? All right, let's go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yep. Yeah, what's up, man?
Yeah, how you guys doing? Been watching y'all for a while now. Thanks for everything. I really appreciate it. So I'm kind of late in the game. I'm 34 years old. Had a thin dad, so... I have simp tendency, trying to break that chain right now. So my question is, I'm going into accounting, and I wanted to know if the career is worth going, and if it is, what other degrees can I get so that I can make a higher income?
I mean, accounting is a fantastic career field, man. Go into it. I mean, you're gonna earn six figures. You know, you're gonna have to make sure you get your CPA. But
that's what made Aaron Clary.
Yeah, I mean it's a good career field, man. People are always going to need their books managed.
And you can span across many industries having that accounting degree.
Yeah,
so you can go pretty much anywhere.
It's a good thing. Just don't be a fucking simp, bro. Like, I'm more concerned with you saying that you have simp tendencies, because whenever you have simp tendencies, like, you're just one fucking blowjob away from being a simp.
Yeah.
A lot of the times.
Or losing your job.
I mean, it's just that, you know, like, my dad wasn't like a man, like the way y'all talk about how men are supposed to be, because he was a simp with my mom, and my mom just dragged him like through the floor.
Okay, well,
but then
that's not an excuse for you to be a fucking pussy. Like, I mean, you know, the stupid people,
right.
Smart people learn from their mistakes, wise people learn from others' mistakes. So you look at your father, see, goddamn, I don't want my wife to be doing that shit to me. And you saw what happens when you're a simp and you let your woman run all over you, bro. You can't do that.
Right. I mean, you know, I am working out. I got a personal trainer.
Good.
You know, I got a better job, you know,
okay.
And now I just want to grow from there, you know. But, you know, I am 34 years old, but I'm just trying to make it now, even though I made my mistakes before.
That's all great, bro, but it's also the mindset as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So your mindset is where it's going to really be at.
Yeah. Just don't be a fucking
right.
Simp, man.
That's really what
it
comes
down
to.
Go.
Yeah.
Right, give yourself
right.
permission to change your mind about yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. And here's the thing too. Like, when a girl knows that you're a simp, bro, she's going to disrespect you and make your life fucking terrible. Like, don't be a fucking simp. You see these girls come on this show all the time. They fucking laugh at simps when they're on OnlyFans or whatever, or dudes send them money on fucking Cash App just for them having vaginas. Like, don't be that fucking guy, bro. Ever.
Yeah. Play to win. Don't play to lose.
Yeah, man.
Okay. Cool. $70, Darnell, 8687.
What's up, man?
Hey, thank you for having me again. I had to call back again. I didn't get to finish my point. You know, again, I just wanted to talk. I apologize. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Nigga came
bro,
back.
Bro, wait.
Nigga came back for part two.
Who let you in the club?
Yo, make
yeah,
it short, because we got a lot of people on the line.
I'm a veteran that served my country.
Really? I understand that, man, but just make it short and concise because we got a lot of people on the line, dude.
Yes, sir. I apologize. Okay. I just want to say again to the young men, look, if you're experiencing red pill rage, you know, just seek help. Don't let it get to you. Don't be chasing these women in your late teens, early 20s. Don't make the same stupid decisions that I made. Listen to Mr. Gaines. Listen to Fresh. Listen to Mr. Tomasi. And I'm telling you, they're not steering you wrong. Again, the truth hurts. It's going to hurt. But I'm telling you, you're going to be better off when you get older. Trust me. These women, they're going to be coming back to you in your late 30s. Or I'm sorry, in your early 30s. They're going to be coming right back to you. Okay? They're going to be trying anyway. Don't take them back. But I'm telling you right now, they're going to try to come back after them and screw their damn lives up. Okay? Don't be looking at these women on the after hour show. I mean, like I said, they look like dolls.
Vegas.
they look like dolls. I'm telling you right now, they look like dolls. Okay? And that's because they hide and stuff. All that damn makeup and all that crap that they're wearing, they're dolls. That's
it. Totally agree with that. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Good point, bro.
All right, man.
They're not living up.
Thank you for
your
time, brother.
All right, who's up next?
8151, check that hole, 10 bucks.
Check that. Oh, Biglets?
No, I don't know.
You know, you want to do a super chat?
Yeah, we should.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
Oh, man. Biglets. What's up, y'all? Let me just keep it straight and simple. For those of y'all that probably for the men out there that may be thinking of losing frame, masculine frame, or maybe thinking they want to stop watching Fresh and Fit because they probably got them a little shorty, or even thinking of moving in with a shorty that they're dealing with, please listen to what these gentlemen are saying on the podcast. They're not saying you're wrong, like the previous caller said. Don't be like me. I'm not trying to go too much into storytelling or dox myself, but, hey, I used to be that dude that used to talk about the red pill, not red pill rage, but pretty much red pill back in college. And that shit pretty much changed when I focused on one girl, put my eggs in one basket, said, no, I'm going to change. I'm going to be more open-minded to these chicks, be more quote-unquote sensitive. And then I got shit on. That's the honest truth. I got the most respect in my life when I was spinning plates. Yo, figure of speech. I got shit on, as in disrespect. When I was spinning plates in my early 20s, I remember that's when I got the most respect, admiration, gender desire from women. But after I
short sleep, bro.
My bad. So I just leave it like that. Yeah, my bad.
All right,
that they're not saying y'all wrong though, man.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, don't get back and regress to being a simp, okay?
And stay being shitted on.
All right, appreciate all that. Right, yo, y'all niggas about to make me stop doing this call-in show, bro. God fucking damn, man. Hey. Yo, I'm going to keep it short sweet.
I know. He's like, what's the topic we're going to do?
Yo, we really try to do this show, man, to give y'all some value. You guys be calling in on some fucking retarded shit, man. I'm not going to lie.
We got PP.
PP.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah, I appreciate it. That.
I have a specific sound drop for PP on my show.
PP, awesome.
Always regularly comes on my show.
Guys, please ask a good question, or if you're gonna have a commentary, piece of advice, make it short and fucking sweet, man.
Yeah.
Okay. There's a lot of people on the line. There's probably guys that need our help. If you say some retarded shit, it's gonna hurt the quality of the show.
And also, the girls are here too, though.
So. Yeah. Mm. So guys, we don't ask dumbass shit. If you ask something dumb, or like something that's stupid, or you ask like the fucking artificial insemination guy, I'm going to clown you. All right? From this point forward. Now y'all know. All right?
Go ahead. Artificial. We got to add, right?
No, let's keep going. Let's keep going.
Want to do? Yeah, super chance.
Okay. Question for you guys. If you were to lose everything you've built, fitness, finance, to females, which one would you guys focus on rebuilding first?
Finances.
Get back in shape. Dreamer. Yeah.
For me, finances for me.
Yeah, I would get back in shape, because once you get back in shape, then you'll have the infrastructure to have the mindset to get the money back. You guys are making a difference. We need to help our younger brothers become men. Absolutely.
Arturo.
That's from Arturo Jr. Derek the Trader. I know of a mom of three who's getting a divorce. Her spiteful actions during divorce caused her three-year-old to tell everybody that daddy left us. Her eight-year-old allegedly attempts to self-harm at school. How could a mother risk harm to her own children this way? Well, the hate of her husband.
Yeah, bro.
Vindictiveness.
And she doesn't care about the after effects of it either.
Knowing that the system is on her
side. Yeah, she don't care, bro.
Facts. Big facts. Yep. A couple of people in law enforcement have told me to get an accounting degree if I desire an 18-level position. My last question, though, our criminal justice degree is no longer desired for 18-level positions. They never were, my friend. That's the common fallacy. yeah, accounting degree, 100%. I would get that. I mean, Dania, when the nature of masculinity and femininity is lost to society, it's on the shepherds to protect the sheep from the wolves. The manosphere are doing God's work. Thank you. Thanks for you guys. Thank you so much. I mean, Dania, I appreciate that. I live in Australia. I just turned 44 yesterday, and I've been watching you guys the past month, and the demands of women in Miami are no different here. I smashed a lot of young broke now. A lot young while broke and don't see a future. Wish I had balls to end it.
Okay.
What? What?
Whoa. Oh, to end
the smashing?
End the relationship?
I smashed
just
a lot.
Turned 44.
Young, broke now. Oh, okay. So he wish he had the balls to like end his, I guess, self-delete. From what he's saying.
No. What are you doing? No.
No.
What's wrong with you? You ain't going nowhere.
Why?
Yeah, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, bro.
No. Watch the
show. Ain't going nowhere, bro. You live in a first world
country. You're still breathing, bro.
You're still breathing, man.
Yeah.
You got internet connection. You super chat talking shit to some dudes on the other side of the world, bro. You're blessed. What the fuck is wrong with y'all niggas,
man?
You are. An alternative on the horizon is rising. It does what a vasectomy does, but is reversible. And that's from H Trouble One. Okay.
Is it a pill?
Jordan Saunders, $20. Thank you. Put this ninja in the Dutch. And that's from Doc Hancock.
Shut up, Doc.
I ain't going to give that dude no clout. Ridley E, much love, gents, 1169. I appreciate that, man. Yeah, man. No oxygen.
Yeah, Rolo handled that pretty well, man.
Yeah, I was prepared to hang up on him sooner, but
just had a guy right here. We just read a super chat from a guy that was potentially self-delete, right? I wish I had the balls to end it all.
Right? Yeah.
Do you have any idea how common that is?
Oh, very common.
I get this all the time. It's like, in fact, I have to be the one to like sort of refer these. If it's out of my wheelhouse or if it's like beyond my above my pay grade, I'm the first one to like say, hey, look, you need professional help, and I'll tell you
that. There was a guy that came while you were here last trip and said, yo, you saved my life. Like, I would be dead without you. And like, he came all the way from, I think he came from like Tampa or whatever, drove all the way down just to see you.
Yeah, I was at
that's why a lot of these guys are not worthy.
And
really.
Even
you shouldn't
even
talk to them.
Well, even at Rebel Capitalist.
The haters, I mean.
But it is, but like, it illustrates, I think, just how deep like all of this goes, because remember when we're sent, like, these guys are the lost boys. They're not going to school. They don't have positively masculine, conventionally masculine fathers or whatever. They don't have anyone like nobody's coming to save you. Right. We're constantly saying that. Right. Well, when you're thinking in those terms, it's like, yeah, you're looking for answers that you don't know that you're looking for. Then, yeah, I mean, we are the teachers now. Everybody at this table is a teacher. Like, we tell guys, don't go to university anymore because you'll end up being a socialist or you'll look like Lena Dunham when you come out of, you know, whatever major universities or something. It's an indoctrination camp or something. And so we tell guys, don't go to university. Like, where do guys get educated? I've gone through that one before, but where they're getting educated is on here. And this is where they come to look for masculine. They're looking for a father. They're looking for a counselor. They're looking for somebody to teach them something. That's why. And sometimes these guys are despondent. Sometimes they're at that stage. So if you're going to corrupt my message or your message or anybody else's or Kevin Samuels, whoever, if you're going to corrupt that message to the point where it's like you're going to bastardize it so that you can turn a quick buck off of it, or you want to get yucks on the middle of a call-in show or something like that, it's like, it's not so much insulting, but it's dangerous. It's dangerous for the guy who we just saw in the super chat, you know, right now. So that's what I'm getting at. It's like, I'm not saying you're holding a gun to anybody's heads. I'm just saying you're preventing guys from actually finding what might actually help them.
Yeah.
All right. But I don't think everyone is worthy of a response, Rolo.
No, you're right. But sometimes you have to make an example of these guys, because if you don't, then it's, you know, it continues forever because these guys have OCD.
Yeah.
I'm dead serious. They seriously have OCD.
We just ignore them. George Lazar, $20 next. All right, cool. A515, I've actually tried to shoot my shot on probably 10x as many women on social media than in person and has closed on more box and person conversation than social media. Well, your Instagram might not be that great, my friend.
Let me say it sucks.
Yeah, it might suck.
Literally, bro.
And then Cheetos Dust Crusader, debate me, Rolo. Debate me, Rolo. Please acknowledge my existence. Better don't debate no one and let the bottom feeders die of hunger. Yeah, I mean, that's why a lot of the time we don't respond to a lot of our haters, but it is what it is, man.
Well,
like
you can't
I said,
throw rocks at every dog that barks at you along the way. You'll never get where you're going.
All right. All right, who's up next?
I'm up.
Where's Hero?
Right, heads up, there's.
Let's go with 6446.
All right.
Hello?
Say it. Yeah, hit us with your question. Please don't go on a stupid rant or say anything else strange.
Yes. Come in off the porch. Stop drinking the whiskey.
Front, back, porch.
I'm Isaac. So socially awkward.
Good question. Yeah. You just got to get comfortable being uncomfortable being around people.
Also,
does that make sense? You got to put yourself out there and go ahead and start talking to people. Just get better at go to improv class. That helps a lot with it,
yes,
being a better conversationalist.
Glad you said that.
But dude, you just got to get out there and talk to people. Like I'm saying, like generate a conversation randomly. You're in the elevator. Hey, blah blah blah. Just learn how to create conversations out of nothing. Roosh used to say, have old man game, which is like, you know how old people just come to you and just start talking about fucking anything.
Bullshit.
Learn how to do that shit, bro.
Yeah. You also need a common goal that drives you to want to do that. Because, for example, you might want to do better, but what's the goal behind it? Do you want to meet girls? Do you want to actually have a good life outside of your regular life? Like, my thing is, I have a goal you want to work towards, and then do what Myron said. Plan to take actions to get that goal as a actual reality. So, offer it, guy. Have a goal for yourself where you say, you know what? I want to be successful in this area. I want to be around girls. I want to do this or that. With that goal, follow those actions, then you should be good to go from there.
Build networks, build tribes. Don't if you're saying, oh, I'm socially awkward, then like I think as Myron was saying, the best medicine is like, you know, practicing, you know, actually go out and doing it. But don't like go and say, oh, I'm going to practice with this group of girls over here in the club right away.
Yeah.
Like look for tribes. Look for like, do you have a network of guys that you can hang out with? So that like, most guys who are socially awkward with girls, they also don't know how to interrelate with guys as well. Mm-hmm. And so if you can go to the gym and you've got a regular workout partner, if you've got like friends in you know, something that you enjoy doing, like build those networks first and then branch out.
Also have another goal, talk to 3 to 5 new people every single day and force yourself to do it. You can't go home until you talk to 3 to 5 new people every single day.
Make eye contact.
And then as you get better, you know, shift it to only talking to 3 to 5 new girls a day, but start in the beginning with start talking to 3 to 5 new people, regardless of gender, age, and then work your way towards to building and talking to women.
And my last thing here, bro, go to Toastmasters, go to Key Club, go to hobbies where you can actually go to, like, for example, a sport, activity, and being in those environments will help you grow. You know what? I can actually be around people, and it's not that bad. So get hobbies, go to activities like that, and you should be good to go from there
as
well.
Good question.
Socialize.
Good question,
yeah,
sir. Thank you for asking a good one. Who's up next?
Let's go with 1286, Mo.
1286, go ahead.
With the E.
Hey guys, I waited so long. I just need to get your opinion on something. So I travel often, and I travel solo. I never take chicks with me. I just find them there wherever I go. So, so I spent like the past 10, 15 days in Tulum, and this happened to me twice. So I met a girl, girls like in 2 different groups, and you know, we start vibing, like we hit it off, and then, you know, with one of them, like, you know, we kind of like, you know, hooked up like in the club, and then but when it got like down to, hey, let's go back to my room, it just seemed like all the other girls like in the group were like so fucking salty and wouldn't let her go, and you know, they didn't let her go, and I wanted to tell you this like before I get your opinion on it, but so. One of the groups, like, it was just a group of, like, 2 girls, and, you know, they told each other, hey, give us a minute, let us talk. And then I realized, like, you know, after 10, 15 seconds that, you know, they started fighting against each other, and one of the girls told her, you slut, you're going to take me back to my room, put me back to bed, and come here and, you know, hook up with him. So I wanted to get your opinion on what could I do, like, done better or, you know, different, and why do women's relationship is just a house of cards, and they hate each other so much, and like they slut shame each other so much.
Here's a dirty little secret, bro. A lot of times girls will go on vacation with girls they don't even like that just because they want to go ahead and get the hotel bill split. That's the reality. So you got to understand, sometimes when you go and you meet girls at a vacation destination, or you're going to Vegas, you're going to Miami, you're meeting these chicks and they're there with their friends, you got to understand that them not looking like a hoe and not getting their friends pissed off that they're having the trip with overrides them getting some temporary satisfaction and or sex with you. So that's just kind of part of the game. Whenever you want to go ahead and, you know, travel and meet girls that are on vacation or whatever, it might come to that situation where you're not necessarily able to close. That's why having wingmen is so important. Mm-hmm. Also, that's why sometimes you got to close a deal right there in the club
and just understand that this is kind of what comes with the territory anytime you're going to be vacationing or meeting girls out and about in a vacation destination.
And the chat also says cock blocking.
And, yeah. And also there's two points of connection here. For example, in this case, either she doesn't like you enough to say, you know what, it's worth me dissing off my friends for tonight, or you didn't get in the group well enough. So if with a big group, bro, you need to talk to everybody and be cool with them. Because that big a group, if you don't have friends willing to help you, it's going to be an L. So, yeah, cop blocking is going to happen because, bro, it's just you and then her and her friends. Like, why is she getting dick and not me? They're going to be mad. So that's going to happen naturally.
Two sets are like the worst.
So you need to actually go ahead and make everyone cool with you from the very beginning. And don't wait. Like, oh, I'm going to wait after we talk to her first. Nah, talk to everybody up front. Then from there, they like you. Mm-hmm. All right, you know what, nigga? Might give you a chance because you never know. You can
and
still
then,
fail.
And then also, some people, like some guys bite on like bachelorette parties or whatever. I've come to realize that a lot of bachelorette parties are fucking waste of time. Because you got a couple girls that are in there that are married. You got a couple girls in there that got a boyfriend. You got a couple girls that are single, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And they're going to – what their relationship friends are going to say is going to dictate how they behave. They don't want to look like hoes. You know what I mean? That's why a lot of girls
– I think it was
– You know what I mean? So that I think the situation as much.
Yeah, I think Myron, it was like
she might have told her friends, save me.
Yeah, or she might have just told her friends, yo, just save me, and she didn't like you like that.
She didn't like you, yeah.
One of the two,
either or.
No, so I think she was all with it. Like she told me that I want to go with you, but like it was because of my friend, and I think like in my opinion, it was more of a.
Did she meet you the next day? Hold on, stop. Did she meet you the next day?
Like she was in the resort, but like, you know, I didn't give her that much, like, you know, attention. I just like, you know, walked by her and
nah,
like,
bro.
You gotta accept fucking reality, man.
You cut.
Yo, if she didn't want to meet you the next day, she probably didn't like you that fucking much. That's the problem. A lot of guys can't accept rejection.
So here's what happened. So like, you know, like her friend and her got into a fight over she going back to my room. And it was all awkward at that point on. That's all I'm saying.
Bro, is she really one of you niggas? She was like, take a...
she would have dropped her dumbass friend at the hotel and came back and met
you,
bro.
You know what? I'm going to go to my hotel room, sneak out, and come see you.
Yeah.
That day or
just,
next
just
day.
Take, just accept the L, bro. You might have done something strange.
I'm totally accepting
an example to try to get away from you or whatever. Like, bro, sometimes you got to just be able to hold the L.
It happens, bro.
It happens, bro.
I did. Like, to be honest with you guys, like, I was a little frustrated, but I wasn't mad because, like, you know, the day after I went and, like, you know, met other girls. I'm just saying, like, you know, why do women slut shame each other like that so fucking bad? More than
girls slut shame each other way more than dudes slut shame them, because the difference is this: when a girl slut shames a girl, they're not penalized for that shit. We are, though.
Yeah,
you ain't gonna catch dudes slut shaming girls. You get fired for that shit.
The best part of this is the solution is simple: spin more plates.
Yeah,
boom, there you go.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Process, bro.
It's part of the game. Regardless. All right, caller. Bye.
Yeah.
Bro, just hold that. Why do niggas never
niggas
want to
lying,
take
bro.
The L, bro?
Because you know why? Because he's on stream. He don't want to look up.
Yeah, he don't want. Yeah, he don't want to take an L. Like, bro, listen, man. If a girl's at a vacation destination, her friend cock blocks you, and she doesn't want to meet with you the next day, take the fucking L, man.
Yeah.
She didn't like you like that. God damn, I don't know why these dudes be morals on these bitches.
Why did she want to smash me? She don't like you, nigga.
Yeah, man, like, bro, take the fucking L.
Offended.
Like, I'm out here getting rejected all the time. Dude, what the fuck, nigga? Like, what the fuck do you think this is? Multi-millionaire successful. So see three nice straight teeth. I get rejected too. You over here thinking it's a little. Oh, I can't get rejected. No. Get the fuck out of here. We're all getting rejected, motherfucker.
Bro, girls are choosing, bro. She didn't choose you that night. It's what it is, bro. It's just take the L and walk away.
Spin more plates, my friend.
Yeah,
dudes cannot take L.
It's a numbers game.
Wild.
You win some, you lose some. All right, cool.
Here's another thing too.
What the cup block?
I ain't gonna tell you that. Yo, I'm gonna keep it 1,000 with you, nigga. You got a weird accent. Some girls will reject you just off of that.
Yeah, you sound kind of slow.
You sound like you're a foreigner. Some bitches will reject you just off your accent alone. Like, what the? Unfortunately, I hate to say it like that, but that's true too. You got to, bro.
Care
reject
less.
You for fucking anything.
Care less.
Your socks might not match. Your sneakers might be, they don't like them. Your shoes might not match your jeans. Your jeans might be too baggy. Girls reject you for fucking anything.
But hold on, Myron.
Accept it.
The vibe wasn't there.
Yeah.
The vibe was not there.
Yeah.
The vibe was somewhere else.
That's what they'll tell you.
Not in Tulum.
The vibe wasn't there. You know what I mean? That's what they'll tell you. But
not in Tulum.
Like, You know, just like, bruh, goddamn.
Okay, let's
take man.
You know, they're supposed to all want to take L's, though. Man.
It's part of the game, bro.
Yeah, he just, and he called in asking about some bitch that he met from Tulum, like, oh, her friend caught. Why do you call
Oh, man.
It's a crisis, like, man. I got to call it, boy.
She got Tulumed.
All right.
Okay,
so
with 3497.
Like I said, Tulum's.
Bro, we all get rejected. We've
Hello?
Seen Trey Songz get rejected in a fucking nightclub by a girl that wasn't even that bad.
Yeah.
No one is impervious to this shit, bro.
And nobody is.
I'm trying to tell you guys, you got to understand, even the top tier guys get rejected by women, bro.
Except for Michael Sartain. He never gets rejected at all.
Nobody's safe. Nobody's safe.
Oh, my God.
All right. Well, who's up next?
3497, Sway.
All right. Go ahead.
Hello? Y'all can hear me?
Yep.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I was just calling because I was trying to get in last week, and I still remember the first caller, and he was like, you know, y'all
question.
Are bad for I just wanted to let people know that y'all are really good for people's mental health. My mom recently died, and your show is what me and my brother look forward to. Like, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we watch both shows. And I just want to put that out there that y'all are really good for the mental health because y'all kept us, like, afloat and keep, like, going, you know, if that makes sense.
Good.
Thanks, brother.
Thank you, brother.
Thank
you. That helps.
And
thank
then
you.
I had a question for – I had some advice. I got offered a job from one of my clients. I'm a barber. He offered me a job as an internship at J.P. Morgan if I go to college and get an undergrad degree in finance. But I also have the choice because I'm out in Midland, Texas, where, you know, the oil field is a good place to get your life together and then Dipset. I have the option to go get my CDL and start a trucking company with my cousin who already has a CDL.
Where are you going with this, bro?
I was wondering what do you guys think what is a better choice, to go get an undergrad degree to get
work on the oil, Derek.
The internship or go for the CDL trucking company?
Yo, only
bro.
You know the answer
exactly.
to that, man. That's
weigh
a very big life decision.
You gotta weigh
it comes down to what do you want
to
do.
Nigga, we can't tell you what to do, bro. You got to weigh your options. It's your life, bro. What do you want to do mainly? Desk. It's like,
as a barber, I know plenty of barbers that make, you know, six, well into the six figures.
Yeah, but you're trading time for money.
But you're trading time for money to some degree, unless you're like a celeb barber and you're cutting people for like $200
bucks.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
But like, it really depends on your skill set, what you want to do. So we can't necessarily tell you, yo, go work and do the manual labor job. You might hate that, but then at the same time, you might hate finance. You might not want to deal with numbers and all that other shit. So it really comes down to what you want to do. And only, unfortunately, the only person that knows that is you.
Yeah.
Here's what you do.
Okay.
Get a quarter. Flip a coin. One's a heads, you're going to be in the trucking industry, and tails, you're going to go to J.P. Morgan.
That's
flip
insane.
It, find out where it goes, and which, if you feel bad about the result, then do the other one.
there you go.
Right, and also keep in mind a CDL, it's always, you can always get it later on in life and become a truck driver. Like, you can always, that's always going to be something in demand.
All right, Kalak, thank you. 3206, 100 bucks, Doc Hancock.
Shout out to you, bro.
Yeah.
Hancock.
That's my guy, man.
What's up, man? Hit us with the question.
Yo. All right. So I'm going to ask a little question. It's like the landscape, right? So if all these young chicks, they think they're hot shit, you know, they got super high standards. They're waiting till forever to meet, you know, Mr. Perfect, 6 foot, 100K plus. So what happens to all the red pill aware dudes when those chicks hit 30? I mean, are they there to pick them up? Say they're average, right? Because at the end of the day, people are going to come around to mean, right? So what do those guys do? They scoop those chicks up, or they just continue kind of looking to for the needle in the haystack? What do you guys think?
I'm a little confused.
Well,
like, what's your goal?
What's your end purpose?
Yeah, it's going to depend on the guy. I mean, if he's RP aware, he's just going to smash. I'm not taking him serious. But if he's like an imp, he'll just wipe them up.
What's your goal?
I think the thing I should say here is that, yo, like, what you're proposing is, like, probably never going to happen because such a minority of guys are fucking going to be I don't think y'all understand how small the guys that think like us actually are.
Mm, yeah.
Most dudes are fucking simps.
Yeah.
Like, big simps. Matter of fact, if y'all don't believe me, people that even watch this show are still fucking simps. They watch to see their girls and follow them on Instagram and send them a bunch of weird-ass DMs and subscribe to their OnlyFans. So, I mean, bro, like, the guys that think the way we do, very, very small minority of men, bro. So what you're saying is, like, just not realistic.
Huh. Okay, so pretty much it's a failed state for the chicks, right, because they're going to go on thinking that they're going to find this guy with all their high standards, and then when they hit the wall – they're still going to get saved at the end of the day. So there's really no consequences for them. I mean, obviously, they don't get their tip-top guy.
100%.
When it comes to the wall, guys are like either too happy or they're too fucking sad about it.
Yeah,
like it's usually like, yeah, finally that bitch is gonna get hurt, right?
Anybody they want to, she'll get 45
she'll get,
or 50.
She'll get her ideal guy.
Yeah,
but she'll get a guy.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that's the most important thing. Is like she might not get her first choice, but she'll get her third or fourth.
Yeah,
and she'll convince herself that he's the one.
Exactly. So, bro, it's
and then divorce that.
I know, Miles in the chat, like, yo, we gotta put
it
in 3 or 4
all along.
But I'm telling y'all, man.
All right, then. Let me flip it for you guys. Let me flip it for you guys. Let me flip it, right? So what about the RP aware dude? He's been with this one chick since she was 20. They've been together 10 years. He's still fucking around with other girls. He's high value. What do you guys think about that dynamic?
He'll still keep the 20-year-old chick around. He'll keep her because she probably added value to some degree. She's going to be the main one.
Yeah.
Yeah, forever, right?
Pretty much. I mean, because, bro, think about it. Like, most girls are useless.
That's
so, like,
sure
if you
thing.
Got a girl that's actually useful, you're going to keep her around, man.
That's the sure thing. Yeah. Like, when I talk to guys who are like, oh, should I go back to my ex? You know, like, they don't want to, like, take the, like, red pill awareness and their game savvy that they're kind of loosely learning.
Yeah.
And they're like, you know, these girls are not as good as my old girlfriend. Yeah. And they want to use those red pill skills to go back with their old girlfriend. They do that because it's the sure thing. It's comfortable. They know they're going to get laid.
Even simps will keep a girl around that's useful. So a guy that's RP aware knows the marketplace even more. He's definitely going to keep that.
And every guy that's RP aware has a season of drought. Dude, there's going to be famine coming to you at some point. So if you got a solid one that can help you through that famine, why get rid of her, bro? Like, keep her on the team.
Yeah.
You know, we be outside, bro. You know what time it is, bro. You got to keep one down for your –
Yeah,
for
you
your
always
got to
– Yeah,
always.
Bro. I'll tell you guys, man, like, most girls, unfortunately, are useless. So when you find one that's actually useful, you got to keep her.
Keep it around.
You got to keep her because most girls come in trying to extract, and you got to figure out which ones are not trying to do
famine,
that mad value.
And the winter is coming, no matter what. So.
That too, man. So, yeah, you keep that fucking main – chick, though.
All right, the best part is that if you weren't your red pill, you're able to identify it.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Like, simps even keep a chick around that's valuable, let alone a dude that's RP aware that really knows what's going on here.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we got a few more calls.
Okay.
And the girls are here.
We're talking.
128.
All right, go ahead.
$10, Chris, defer.
Get right to your question,
sir. What's going on, guys? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Cool. What's going on? I just want to give a shout-out to Richard Cooper. He's the one who put me on the path to Rolo Tomasi. Since I've been out in the Marine Corps in 2019, made a really big difference in my life. So I want to say thank you guys. That led me to Fresh and Fit. Been watching you guys recently. Appreciate you guys a lot. So my question is something I can add maybe to the macro of the questions that have been asked lately. A lot of my friends, a lot of people I know, it's easy to see guys get into like the black pill when they see, you know, high status guys like, you know, Will Smith, Tom Brady, et cetera, have issues with their marriage, even though on the other side they're successful in a lot of other aspects of life. Me personally, I see that as a good example on how to succeed. But what would you guys have to say to a lot of the guys that are entering the manosphere or might be considering getting into your literature and stuff when it comes to examples like that? Because I see it as a way to kind of help these guys that have questions like that.
It's simple. Bro, the difference between you and these guys like Will Smith, Tom Brady, whatever, even though their value is way higher than yours and they have more social status, more money, whatever, they're not RP aware.
That is, that's the apex fallacy for guys.
Yeah.
Is
you,
what it is.
You look at Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, whatever, all these guys filling with chicks 9 out of 10 times, Tom Brady, et cetera, Will Smith getting fucking cucked by his own fucking wife. Like, it's because they're not RP aware and they weren't able to pick up on certain bullshit early on and they didn't establish a certain type of precedent with their woman. You think if Tom Brady had his shit together and was like, yo, Giselle, this is how it fucking goes. You should be divorcing this dumbass right now at 40 years old plus. The reason why she's even trying to do that right now is because she thinks that her value is higher than it really is.
Yeah.
But one of the things about being RP aware is you're constantly letting your girl know that she's replaced. The problem with Tom Brady is that he didn't do that. You know what I mean? Will Smith, same shit. Didn't do that with Jay.
Yeah, exactly.
And also, caller, you're blessed. You know why? You have the knowledge now.
Yeah.
So going into it, you see the pitfalls of other people. You see the downside of it. Now you know, okay, cool. If I go on this route, this is how it's going to be for me as well.
Money and status is not enough in 2022 going into 2023. You must have RP awareness to navigate the relationship appropriately. Your girl will leave you if she thinks that she can have, if she has a better option. A lot of times, your money and status alone won't infer that. You have to do it by her not being comfortable with where she stands in the relationship. You know what I mean? And the thing, too, you guys got – this. this is going to sound terrible, but it's why I tell y'all, don't go ahead and deal with girls that have big social media followings or girls that have clout or whatever, because that shit gets to their fucking head and they think they're more, they have an overinflated sense of self-worth.
And also, you need game as well.
You need the fucking status in the relationship, not the girl. When women have status and leverage, it makes her life miserable. When you have status and leverage, it makes her bond to you even more. Women want a guy who's better than her.
There's a lot, whenever there's a high-profile divorce or there's a high-profile breakup like Giselle and Tom or it's Jeff Bezos and Mackenzie, whatever it is, like, or Brad Pitt and whoever he's banging, you know, whatever, there's always these guys who are going to – like the shot clock starts from the, you know, the MGTOW side where it's like, well, if they can't make it work out, then what chance do I have? Like they're using this apex example of an apex alpha to basically excuse their inaction. Like, did you say it worth the squeeze, bro? Because if Tom Brady can't make it work out, then what chance
they're
do I have?
Most
fuck it.
Thing.
I'm going to go back to, you know, smoking weed and jerking off, right?
Mm. Yeah, and they're missing the most important thing is that those guys don't have RP awareness. You know who probably does have RP awareness, though? Leonardo DiCaprio.
Boom.
Legend.
Hey, what's up? Semper Fi Marine. Hey, real quick, first off, if you've been in the Marine Corps, you've probably seen shitty leadership and you've seen good leadership, right? The good leaders, they tell you how it is up front. It's not an emotional thing. They lay down the law and let you understand. The bad leaders pass on the buck. The bad leaders are passive aggressive. What they're talking about right now about putting, like, making it very clear what the boundaries in the relationship are, that is what Jeff Bezos didn't do. That's what Tom Brady didn't do. That's what Will Smith didn't do. Do you understand what I'm saying, Marie?
What Elon Musk is still not doing.
their biggest mistake was letting their girl think that they're equals. You know what I mean? Like when a woman knows that that you're the fucking guy, your value is higher than hers, she's not fucking leaving you. She's just not. So Tom Brady's dumbass didn't establish that boundary that, yo, I'm fucking Tom Brady. You know what I mean? She really thought, I'm 40 years old. I'm a used up Victoria's Secret model, but I can get back on the marketplace and be able to replace you or whatever. That's the only reason she left. Mm-hmm. Girls don't leave when they know that girls don't leave unless they think they can replace you.
Here's the good news, though, is that maybe it's good news. But here's the take home lesson from all this is that it doesn't matter how much money you have. You can be the richest motherfucker in the world, and it's no insulation from your blue pill conditioning.
Yeah.
And if you can be the most – you can be a Hall of Fame quarterback, and it's still no insulation from blue pill conditioning.
Yeah.
So I think that's – people always say, well, you know, how do I unlearn this or whatever? Like what's the importance of game if I just need to look good or I need to have a shit ton of money? It's still no insurance against you getting fucked over and rolled because you simply don't know men's nature and women's nature. Yeah. And – you know, you took no actions and you're just simply unaware of those things. But here's the good news. You are, because you've read my books, you've watched shows like this, and now you're in a better place for it.
I want to say one more thing, too. RP awareness does not mean you're impervious to getting broken up with.
Yeah.
I want to make that extremely clear, too.
Yes.
The only difference is that if you do get broken up with, you're able to get up very quickly and pat the dust off yourself.
You know, being sad
for weeks or months or crying or being a fucking bitch. Mm-hmm. The RP awareness allows you to recover much faster.
Mm-hmm. If you notice, right? If you guys watch anime, I was about to say, when Goku gets hit down to the ground, what happens? He gets back up. Now, if you're blue pill aware and you're not ready for this scenario to happen, you're going to stay down, possibly die. So having this knowledge can save your life indefinitely.
Right. We talked about Anthony Bourdain the other day.
Yeah.
Here's a guy who is on top of his game. He's, you know, fairly good looking for being in his 60s, let's just say. But he's certainly on top of his game. I remember when I said, you know, well, it's because he's blue pill. And people are like, oh, he was an alpha. I can't believe he would have offed himself. I'm like, well, because his headspace was still stuck in this romantic ideal that the blue pill had convinced him probably all of his life. And now he self-deletes as a result of
that.
And
he didn't see it coming. Like the RP, if I punch you in the stomach, right? And I didn't tell, like, if I punch you in the stomach, you didn't see it coming, you're going to lose air. You're like, but if I tell you, hey, bro, punch is coming, brace your fucking core. And then I punch you, guess what? It won't hurt that bad. You know, you might get bruised or whatever, but you're not going to be gasping for air, wanting to die.
Yeah.
So that's what the RP is, man. It teaches you to brace your fucking core for what's going to inevitably come. All right? Hypergamy is a fucking punch. A lot of y'all aren't ready for it.
So. I should have made a better example. One Piece Luffy. There you go. Forget Dragon Ball Z.
Next caller. A high-profile divorce. Come on, I know it's coming.
Yep. Dr. Dre, Tom Brady, Jeff Bezos, all these guys. No RP awareness. Fucking destroyed.
3297.
Yo.
W1P. Yes, sir.
One P.
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up, man? Hey. Welcome to the show. Hit us with your question quick.
Hey, what's up? I got you. Hey, look, bro. I got a question.
I'm the kind of guy that you give that metaphor for, the kind of guy that's been in the house, get his dick sucked regardless. You know what I mean? That kind of guy, bro. But I'm trying to change so I can become a high-value guy. But it's kind of hard to break the fucking habits because I've been doing this for a long time. Any kind of advice, I already know to look for mentors and shit, but, like, any kind of advice, you know what I mean, that ain't really spoke about on how to make the change.
What do you do for a living right now?
You give it to me.
What do you do for a living?
Say what?
What do you do for a living?
I'm an installer technician. I run around high-rise buildings, and I install and test anchor systems.
How much
I make
you
a pretty good living. It's an average cat. It's like 50 band. It's like 50 band. I'm a regular cat. You know what I'm saying? 5'9", SA, all of that shit. Huh? All
right. You make 50K per year. Where do you live?
Texas. Fort Worth.
You live in Fort Worth. That's not that much for Texas, bro, Fort Worth. I mean, Dallas, the whole metropolitan area of Dallas-Fort Worth is going up.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. 100%.
How many hours do you work per year? I mean, sorry, per week?
About 60, and then whatever I ask, I pick up odd jobs around the way. You know what I mean? Finances, I'm trying to get on that, but I'm trying to, like, change my whole perception. Because, you know what I mean? Like, I've been a safe dude and didn't have to work hard. Huh?
How old are you? How old are you?
34.
Yeah, bro, 34 years old, making 50K per year. You know, yeah, bro, you got to do better, my friend.
For
you
sure.
Got to do better. That's unacceptable.
You got to want it too, bro. Like, you can call it until you want, but if you don't want it for yourself, then what are you really doing? My thing is, like, I'll never forget. Andrew said it in an interview. He said, yo, unless you want as bad as you want to breathe, then what's the point? So you can ask all day what you should do, but, like, you got to want it for yourself, bro, honestly.
Yeah, it sounds to me like you want bitches more than you want to make money.
Facts.
Which here's the thing. You
hey,
can
nigga,
go ahead.
Hey, 100. You all the way 100. I've always chased pussy more than I've always chased pussy more than money, but I'm trying to make the switch now.
Yo.
Well, I'll tell you this. Let me just make it – I'll keep you all the way 1,000. If you're going to go ahead and prioritize chasing after women, be prepared to also be prepared to be chasing after being broke as well. Because women spend a lot of your time and a lot of your money.
And, bro, that was me. Remember?
Yeah, when I met Rush,
I need help.
I gave it 1,000. This nigga was unmotivated, being a fucking bum, chasing after girls, going on 3 fucking dates with chicks, you know, spending time and money, doing a bunch of dumb shit. I had to tell him, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, girls are only going to make you lose ambition and make you lose money. And, yeah, you'll lose some semen in the process, but what the fuck does that do for you?
Nothing.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
You're about to grow. So, like, I mean, you know, and here's the thing. I could tell probably more than likely since you're making 50K per year and you work, you know, a good amount of hours, whatever, you're probably a Chad, probably to some degree a natural. Yeah, man, you got to just stop being a fucking loser. You got to cut the girls back and start really focusing on making money because I'll keep 34 years old making $50,000 per year. You're a fucking bum, nigga.
Dude, real talk, 100. The quality girls you get are going to be way better anyway.
Yeah, you probably fucking a bunch of fat bitches.
You have less girls?
I know you're fucking a bunch of whales,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, bro.
50K per year. U.S., bro, stop lying, nigga. You say, oh, yo, bro, I'm just getting my dick sucked. Just stay at home. Fat bitches, nigga. I know for a fact they are.
Change your mind about yourself. That's really where it starts. You got to change your mind about yourself first and foremost. If you are already getting laid, then why? You know you've got that pretty much on lock.
Yeah.
Why not just follow up? And I'll tell you, it's more important to get your finances on lock. Simply because if you're fucking a lot of bitches, fat or not, you're running the risk of having them sort of locking you down while you're a $50,000 wage
That's
employee as opposed to a guy who
could have
more money later on. So getting locked into a situation with a woman, women are dream killers. And I don't mean that in a sense like they're trying to like manipulate you. Guys will kill their own dreams because they got into a situation they can't get out of with a woman.
Yeah.
So they'll go, well, you know, I'm not going to go and try to pursue any more money. I'm fine with 50K and that's where I'm going to stay right now because they'll rationalize it in their heads by saying like, hey, look, I've got a girl, I've got a baby on the way, whatever else. I can't be, you know, fucking around. I can't be like, you know, looking, you know, trying to improve myself any more than I already have. Do it now before any of that shit happens or you make any kind of long-term commitment or some girl tries to get you with an accidental person.
And I'll say one more thing.
Advice,
the things that
advice,
be,
all
right. Here's one thing I've noticed about with women. Whenever I'm getting the most girls, I'm losing money. Whenever I'm making the most money, I lose girls. It's very difficult to do both because the habits and tactics it takes to make a lot of money, there's no doubt about you're going to have to sacrifice spending time courting, texting, and going on dates with girls. We all know girls want to go on multiple dates. They want to feel special, that you got to court them and all this other shit. So when you're getting the most sex, 9 out of 10 times, you're also going to be spending quite a bit of time to do that, and to also you're going to spend money.
You got
and
that shit on lock right now anyway.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that's going to fuck with your ability to earn more. So my thing is, do you go to the gym?
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Do you really go?
No, every day. Yeah, that's 100.
Okay, well,
everything
then,
that y'all talk about, everything y'all preach, I do that shit. The only problem I'm having, bro, is making the transition from putting my effort and energy in a fucking hose and stacking bread. That's the only thing I'm fucking up.
So, Jim, making more money, bro. You shouldn't even be fucking with girls until you make at least 6 figures per year.
That's tough, but all right.
What do you mean that's tough?
Respect. Respect. Yeah,
bro,
that's tough as fuck.
There's fucking kids out here on TikTok making 100K per year.
You can do it.
Fuck do you mean?
I know. All right. Respect.
Wait, did you mean a phrase or you actually meant that? Like, because that's like a phrase.
Wait,
like,
what?
Oh, that's tough. That's tough, yeah. It's like a ghetto term.
It don't matter. Like, I shouldn't be hearing, no, that's tough. It's, I will do it. I will fucking do it.
Yeah.
You know, you got to stop. Right. If you want to fucking hippopotamine, you got to go ahead and get your money out and become a better man, bro. Like,
yo,
we've already
like,
oh,
man. I can't breathe.
You know what I mean?
Hey, that's why I like this nigga Myron, bro. I swear to God, that's the whole time reason I called in. Nah, nigga, respect and salute for all of that shit, bro. All right,
man. 100K or bust, bro. 100K
yeah.
per year or bust.
Leave your dick alone, bro.
You can do it.
He'll right. be fine. Let's see. Well, actually, I don't know that part.
Call back when you make 100K.
It's different one. 9-4, $10, and one more.
What, Chris?
Chris, what did you say? And then after this, one more caller. Oh, I couldn't understand you, bro.
Are we doing super chats?
Yeah. No, we're doing a caller first.
Okay.
Caller, let's go. You pay $10.
Hello?
Yep.
So, man.
Hey, what's up, guys? I got a quick question. So, I have a bunch of goals, but they're in different areas of my life. Like, I do Muay Thai. I try to get money. I'm a truck driver. And I also, I'm also going to the gym. My question to you guys, and I'm working on my credit and building my credit up. So my question to you guys, how do you stay balanced in order to be successful? Because I've noticed in my life, if I focus on one thing, the other one goes down. So I'm asking you, how do you keep a healthy, sustain a healthy balance?
Well, to be honest, bro, if you're worried about balance, that's the wrong question. Most of the time when you're building up wealth, you're not balanced at all. You're focused on one area of your life,
right.
Like business or, like, for example, working on a task, become successful. So you're neglecting the girls, everything else. So for the most part, that's a bad question because with balance, it's not even a thing you should be worried about. It should be like, what am I doing towards my goals?
Yeah. I see. Hold on 1 second, Mike. I was going to say is that when we talk about money, muscles, and game, right, that's the holy trifecta, right? And all that together is the frame. What most guys do is they'll say, oh, just chase excellence, and to the exception of everything else. Now, whatever excellence happens to mean, usually people are, entrepreneurship, money, whatever. So it's usually money, muscles, and game. What I've been actually kind of like, I've got an essay in me about this, but there are synergies between money, muscles, and game. So when you get your fitness on lock, then that has effects on the other two, like so. So when you are focusing on just one to the exception of the others, that's when you kind of get lopsided. That's when you get a guy who's like, all he is just about money, and then he gets rolled by some chick because he never really worked on his game and he never really worked on his physique, right? So because he believed,
right.
Oh, what's I'll just
real quick
chick, right? So it's synergies between all three of those, and I think it's important that you understand that you can't focus on just one to the exception of all others. Like you got to have a more balanced approach. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey man, what do you listen to when you drive your truck?
I listen to you guys, Corey Holcomb, 5150 Show, some little bit of Young Trail, Tommy Sotomayor, sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So listen, man, what I would do in addition to that is I would find books that would help you with a career field. Do you understand?
Good idea.
Give yourself,
right.
And by the way, they're not as entertaining as YouTube videos. I know they're not. I would find books written by experts in different fields like real estate or high ticket sales or building funnels or something to that effect. I would stop anytime I'm in the gym, anytime I'm in my car, anytime I'm eating, I am listening to an audio book that is turning my business to 8 figures. There is no exception. There is no exception. Do you understand what I'm saying? Number two. Can you speed up? Can you speed up the way you listen? Do you listen at 1.25, 1.5, 2.0?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you tried that?
Yeah. No, I haven't.
Yourself.
Okay, so this is the next thing I would tell you. The greatest gift anybody ever told me is, like, I cannot listen to audiobooks slower than 1.7. You get through them. When I was in the military, I would get through 60 books in a year. Get through these. Find subject matter experts in a career field that will help you and become obsessed with learning. That is one of the greatest ways, becoming a subject matter expert, to find another career field or to discover another path to entrepreneurship. Those leaders are out there. Those mentors are out there. Some of those mentors are dead.
Jim Rohn.
Dale Carnegie. They're dead. You're never going to meet them, but you can listen to every word they ever said. You can listen to them at double speed while you're doing another job, making money, while you're driving, you know, Uber Eats, or you've got your truck driver or whatever. Mm-hmm. Do not waste this time that you have. Use this time in order to educate yourself to find another path.
Yeah.
And here's another thing. You're going to be looking for path A, and inspiration is going to hit you. Me listening to all these audiobooks by self-help coaches, one of the things I realized, man, a lot of these guys in self-help are terrible with women. Mm-hmm. Holy shit. Well, why not create a product about it? The other thing I figured out is a lot of these guys who are good with women are horrible, horrible fucking leaders who can't maintain eye contact and talk to people like bitches. Wait a second. There's a hole here. I discovered this inspiration by studying and trying to become a subject matter expert in something I was interested in, and then inspiration hit me, and then that's where you create a new business. Does that make sense?
Bam.
Cool.
Perfect.
Yeah. All right,
caller. Who's next? Last caller. Alejandro, $5, 0225.
Alejandro.
All right.
Hey,
hola.
Howdy, gentlemen. How are you guys doing?
Yeah. Good.
I'm going to change the pace here. Can I recite a poem?
No, bro.
Would that be cool?
Nah, man.
Nah, bro.
Nah, man.
All right. We're just going to go with it. It's called Loneliness. I see it.
All right.
All right, nigga.
Fuck you, Seth. All right, there's some
chats
here, bro.
Seth, I'm going to recite a poem.
Nigga, I'm just going to go with it.
Nigga, fuck out of here, bro.
Think you're calm, bro. Yeah, we got shit to do, bro. Come on, man.
No, recite a poem.
This looks like some spiritual, fucking, you know, oh, yeah, my feelings. I'm going to recite a poem. You know, niggas.
Yeah, I'm gonna recite a poem. Get the fuck up off your ass and go do something.
What the fuck is this, man? Oh, God, bro. God damn. What a bunch of fucking.
Yeah, we're in a rumble. Well, never mind. Like, you know, it's like when Mike's talking about.
I would have been in a rumble. I can't say what I was going
to
say.
Like, guys like this, it's like you have to explain to them, like, you have to be on point because you only have so much time on this earth.
Yeah,
by
sure.
The way, I wanted a big before we get out of here, I have to say big ups to Alan Roger Curry, who passed away recently. I did a memorial show for him on Sunday. And like that, we've lost Pat Campbell, we've lost Alan Roger Curry, we've lost Kevin Samuels, we've lost Tom Torero, we lost Red Pill Mike, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah.
And this all within about the same year period. And when you get to be my age and people are like dropping that, you know, like this isn't supposed to happen until I'm 80.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So when I see this kind of stuff, I realize just how little time I have. So when I'm working with people like Mike or even my newbies and stuff like that, I'll go, you know, you guys really got to learn this fucking shit because I'm not going to be around here forever, Big Mo. And so like people are like, oh, do you have cancer? Are you okay? No, I'm fine. But in my head, I'm like, I have to get this shit done because I only have a limited time left. And God knows how long that's going to be. It's what's called death ground strategy by Robert, you know, it's in 33 Strategies of War, right? Burn the bridges or burn the boats behind you, right? There is no plan B at this stage in my life right now. So it's like I feel like I have to like get off my ass and do stuff all the fucking time right now. It's like like Steve Jobs, when he was diagnosed with cancer, he was more productive in the time where he was diagnosed to the time he died than at any other time in his life. And I think if you can adopt that mentality earlier on, you'll get a whole lot more done, and you'll feel a whole lot more, I mean, content, but certainly more fulfilled in you, that you're actually doing something, you're living up to your potential.
That's true. If you know you're going to die, you're going to work way harder.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Don't write depressing poems.
Asking for a friend, how would you deal with a reverse cuck? Some woman that you used to see probably got pregnant with your kid, but she is married. Would you touch that hornet nest or wait till it blows up in the future?
Oh, bro.
Cheetos
dust crusader.
That's an inverse cuck, or is it a reverse cuck?
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Retroactive.
I would like I didn't know what was going on, bro.
Yeah, that's strange.
What? Nigga, cause I'm about to go into that mess, bro. Hell, hey, you deal with that shit, bro.
Hey, guys, two-part question. What's the difference between alpha and sigma men?
Oh, God.
And can a sigma man get as many girls as an alpha man? Thanks. Number
there's
ending
no
is 0486.
There's no such thing as a sigma male. Trust me. It's you're a asocial alpha.
Yeah. I don't even use those terms. We don't even use those terms.
Yeah, we don't, bro.
Go watch.
As much as people want to talk shit and say,
we're alpha males.
Alpha males, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. You are never going to catch us saying that shit like, we're alpha, blah, blah,
go
blah.
Watch, go watch the video by Vox Day, the definitive video by Vox Day on sociosexual hierarchies, and tell me if you see anything related to Sigma males.
Yeah.
There's nowhere to be found. You're not a Sigma male. You're just an asocial alpha.
Yeah. If, and the thing is, too, if you're ever going to say,
you're not special, motherfucker.
Say the term alpha or beta or whatever, it's typically as like a placeholder to describe a lower status man versus a man that's of higher status.
That's it.
I try to refrain from
using
those terms in general.
I'm alpha male, it's just nobody knows it yet.
You know, all of our haters love to make hit pieces saying, look at these fake alpha males, and it's like, bro, we don't even use that terminology on our show, you fucking retard.
If you gotta say it, you already lost.
Yeah. Facts. Yeah.
Bro, like,
if you gotta tell a girl I'm an alpha male, you already lost, bro. That's an L for you,
cringe.
My friend. Like,
that's cringe, bro.
Stop it. Get some help.
And then three dicklets. Ain't nothing wrong with a juicy beluga by your side.
I don't know.
That's
three nigglets.
Yeah, nigglets. Three nigglets. What the
Yo.
Fuck, bro? All right.
All right.
Guys, this chat, man, are hilarious. Man.
All right. So we got a show with some ghosts coming up right now, actually.
Yeah. And we got Roll on Mike Sartain in the house, man. So, cool. We'll be back, Chris. What's up?
At 10?
10?
At 10 o'clock. All right.
And get on Rumble, guys.
Yeah, get on Rumble, guys. Rumble.com/FreshFit. Subscribe to the goddamn channel.
Yes.
Like this video on the way out. Also, subscribe to Michael Sartain's YouTube channel and Roll
Tomasi.
Tomasi.
Yep.
Their links are below.
Vegas coming up on December 15th. Both
Let's
of our,
go.
On both of our channels, actually.
Check
Let's
them
go.
Out, guys. All right. We'll be right back with some lovely ladies, man. Love
Peace.
Y'all. Peace.